want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, K-Life Radio, KIQQ-FM, Los Angeles, signs off the air forever.
Hello.
Forever.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you, Mr. Shannon?
Hello.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, hold on. I've got him totally out of order. Hold on.
What's going on?
We got a bush tape.
We do. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's heard it, but in case you haven't, here's the latest, greatest bush tape from yesterday.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
Wow.
Even the people there are laughing.
They laughed at
it. Yeah, right.
Out loud.
Yeah.
Let's hear it again.
He's the strong one.
Wow.
Okay, hold on. I got to recue it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
he gets in way over his head and then has no idea. He should have just said, when the guy said the question, he should have pass.
It's sovereign.
I would pass.
Tribal sovereignty is sovereign, yeah.
He should have just said, I'll pass.
Yeah. Right.
Alex, I'd like to move to the next category.
I'm not up on that. I'm going to move on.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century?
Hold on, could I have the Jeopardy music, please?
Dun, 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 dun.
It's about 30 seconds.
He's a regular Webster, he is.
Okay, so here we go.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
There you go. I have an absolute favorite part of that, and it's right before the question is done.
Right.
Bush says, yeah. Listen one more time.
Okay. What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Off the script.
I am able to do this.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
There was one time that I was at a casino for the Massantucket Pequots. And I believe they were sovereign over my blackjack table.
You know, shouldn't he have some guy like in an earpiece saying to me, Mr. President, abort, abort, get out of this question, abort, abort.
So you support rights. Now, he's talking now. Does anybody know what it means? I mean, fairness to the president?
It means independent authority over a state.
And they're talking about Native Americans.
And he was speaking to Indians.
You rule yourself.
It's Native Americans that are, you know, that take care of their lands. And that's why they're able to have,
rule their own
casinos.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
A Chief Wahoo.
Like the Massantucket Pequots.
Exactly.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go.
At this time,
now we get back into
K-Life Radio, KIQQ-FM, Los Angeles, signs off the air forever.
Hello.
Forever.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hi, this is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
Completely lame groaners.
I'm ready for them today.
Five of them.
Oh.
Wow.
What sitcom featured a lovable space alien and a butch-like, genital-pointing Iraqi prison guard? Mork and Lindy.
Oh.
Hello.
There's one. Oh.
Hello. I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
What classic rock singer is famous for committing crimes?
Which one?
John Fellencamp.
Oh, my God.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon, a professional radio pronosticator from New York City.
From New York City.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
What is the worst-selling medicine for upset stomachs?
What?
Pepto-Abysmal.
Wow.
I feel so.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'll go out with the best one, then.
Okay, oh, good.
So here you go. Get ready.
I'm ready.
Now remember, these are...
I'm ready.
Well, these come as completely lame groaners.
Yes. I'm ready.
You ready, Milburn?
They're labeled that way.
No.
No.
Hello.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon, a professional radio pronosticator from New York City.
Hello.
Is it pronosticator or prognosticator?
He was making a joke.
He's combining the words.
He is kidding. Oh, it's a showgram.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't get that one either.
He's sovereign.
What New York City amusement park has had a lot of people that look exactly like each other?
What?
Cloney Island.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, we are in the...
Hello.
Hi, hi there. Oh, there's the people. Talk about your dad.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
During the show today, will you be entertaining calls? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cake Man, and all the ships at sea.
Cake Man.
It's their job to be serious.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo.
Thank you, thank you. All right, guys, hiya, Doug. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to Dynamite Show. New episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday 08-11-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Mm. Hi there, Buzz. And thanks for listening to Don and Mike's show. It is August 11th.
No.
20-04. Oh, yes.
The 11th?
Yeah. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636.
We're in double digits already.
From Canada. From Mexico North. 800-636-1067. And if you're listening to us in Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM, call 202-432-1067. That's your special number, always open just for you.
So we've celebrated the 4th then, the 4th of July. Yeah. Last,
yes, we did.
Last, all right. Okay.
Coming right up on Jerry Day.
If you,
very close
Labor
to
Day?
Jerry Day. Yes. Oh, and listen, coming even closer to Elvis Death Day.
Yes.
Should I get out the Jerry tapes?
No.
Okay.
This will be the first year that we've taped the Jerry Lewis telethon and never actually heard the tapes. But in fairness, Jerry wasn't really on that much for us to goof this year, right?
No, but I always thought it was important we got to him because it could have been his last.
We'll yeah, see, but I, he's going to make it. Yeah, it looks like
I don't
it.
Know.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, gentlemen.
Listen, if he does croak between now and Labor Day, you've got the tapes.
Yes,
we've got his final telethon appearance. If not...
And were you going to say something about Elvis' death day?
Yes. We are so glad we've moved around some scheduling and stuff. Uh-huh. And as it turns out, we're normally not here on the actual Elvis death day.
Right.
But it's Monday.
Okay.
It's Monday's episode.
Wow.
It is our 27th. Annual Elvis is Still Dead show.
Wow.
It's been 27 years since Elvis died. That's and if amazing. You're in one of these new markets and you've never heard our show before, let me say...
And nobody pays tribute like we do. It's true.
A tribute like has never been paid for, and certainly you would pay for it,
yeah.
But you don't. It's free. I just want to say three words that we won't be able to say. Oh, my...
Yes,
and
right.
The boy's name.
But you know, Elvis was very popular after his death with disc jockeys around the country. I think we're the only ones that have held on to Elvis for years and years and years. And although we don't do it as much as we used to, once a year...
It's
we,
all Elvis all
we
the time.
We really do pay tribute.
And even with the new standards, which just means that we're going to lose some stuff like, look how many babies we killed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We've still got all of the great Elvis stories about...
We've got the food, we've got the cough syrup,
the monkey. Shooting the light bulb.
Light bulbs in the pool.
Yeah.
The flash bulbs, we should say.
Polaroid flash bulbs.
Yeah, they used to have those old-fashioned flash bulbs that you popped in, and they'd go off in the pool, and Elvis shot them with BBs.
And I think we can still talk about Elvis's sexual retardation, just without being specific.
Absolutely.
You'll cut loose with all the stories.
Yes, we will. or my name's not Peter.
And let's not forget Scatter.
Scatter the monkey.
Hot buns on a horse. A tree.
That would be next Monday, our 27th anniversary, Elvis is Still Dead
And you
show.
Kind of rotate them, because we obviously don't get to all the Elvis stories on one show every year, so you kind of rotate them and we'll revisit the ones we didn't get to last time.
Yeah, we'll keep it fresh, Buzz. We're keeping it fresh with the same crap. It's just, you know, every 2 or 3 years, we read the story about Elvis drinking cough syrup out of champagne flutes with a 14-year-old girl.
Really, like every 2 years or so, Elvis, there's an Elvis story that surfaces.
He keeps giving.
Yeah, he does. That we've never heard before.
Giving from the grave.
Look, now here's some guy, Dean, here in D.C., who is an Elvis fan. Waiting for our Elvis show.
Sure.
My boy.
Well, listen, it's only three shows away.
Let me tell you, I've been listening to you guys for about 10 years now, and the people that have never heard this are in for a treat. It is, without a doubt, my favorite show that you guys do. I mean, you've always got the shows that are, you know, it's unexpected and something crazy, wacky happens, and it's just a good show. But Elvis Death Day is by far the best, man. And my favorite quote from Elvis Death Day was the day that he died, when you were DJing, what you said over the air just made me cry.
Okay, well, we'll save all of that for the Elvis Death Day. All right, definitely. Thank you, my friend. Look at now
the excitement.
All we have is people excited about this. Eddie.
Hey, how you doing, man? Again, I want to reiterate what that guy said. I was talking about Elvis Day at work this morning. I asked my friends when Elvis died, and I said, Don and Mike is going to be talking about it soon.
Sure.
I love that show, man. Okay. And that's all I want to let you know, Jack.
Bye,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow. Yeah, we didn't even mention the fabulous tapes of Elvis when Elvis is talking about how he's not under the influence of narcotics when he's obviously under the influence of narcotics.
Anyway, that's Monday, okay? So just keep that in mind. Monday won't be a normal show. Monday will be the 27th annual Elvis is a Still Dead show. Here is the, before we talk about trading spouses and all other things, I do have to say that I showed incredible restraint last night with the Madden game. I only played it for 5 hours last night.
Good for you. That's incredible self-control.
And then today, what with work junk and stuff, I was only able to play another 2 hours this morning.
So your time, was this five uninterrupted hours?
Yes.
Where you sat in front of the TV and just played it?
Here's what I did last night when I got home. I went, and my wife had dinner prepared for me already.
Good.
My kid was at work.
As she always should.
Well, store-bought. I should point out, but whatever was in the little prepared section. Mm-hmm. She was out with a friend. My kid's out at work. I see the thing in the refrigerator. I wolf it down. Mm-hmm. I was in my chair probably by 7:35 last night.
Wow.
I mean, I had already eaten my dinner.
Wow.
Now, the priority is still there, as much as I love this Madden game.
You must have flown home.
No, on a normal night.
Right.
I get home about 20 after 7.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And I fart around and do what I got to do. But last night, it was okay, let's eat, take care of the dogs, then pour myself a nice cool drink, and then let's sit down and let's dive into this baby, and let's try it without reading the book, and let's just see what happens.
Did you do any book reading last night?
Oh, I ended up doing a lot of book reading.
Because
when you play the first game against the freaking Arizona Cardinals.
Can I ask a question about this game?
Yes.
When are the people from EA Sports going to drop off the satchel full of cash for you?
Here's the thing. I just happen to be the dope that has got a radio show talking about
right.
it.
Right.
They don't have to advertise, even though they run ads.
I would think that they would be aware of you, though.
No, they got millions of guys, millions of regular guys like J-Dubs, dopes like that.
Right.
Dopes like me that wait for it, to talk about it
with
each other.
Sure.
I mean, I'm discussing with these guys today in the hallway saying, hey, did you notice that now you can move the defensive back, and if you think, and I noticed in the offense that I run that there's option routes, and you can click and you can have the receiver go left or right while he's doing all this junk. And
sure.
Anyway, it's very exciting.
5 hours is quite a steady sit-down time. Yeah.
Well, that's how long it took.
Your eyes hurt at the end of that?
No.
They bother you at all? Get a little dry, maybe?
No, but I do have a beneath, below the waist.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah.
I got a problem down there.
From the sitting?
No, just because I refuse to get up to go.
Oh, I see.
You know, I really got to go, but the problem is...
You're too committed to the game.
I'm sitting there, and now it's easy enough to just hit pause, and it stops the game.
I would think if nature called, you'd want to do that, but...
Mike, when I'm into it, what I want to think is,
because I'm listening to the dumb thing that the computer's telling me, like when John Madden is saying,
right,
this quarterback has really come into his own. The game's really slowing down for him now. He's seeing everything out there. Well,
so you would say the dedicated quarterback wouldn't take a bathroom break.
Well, since I'm playing the quarterback position, I think, foolishly, that I've really got some kind of momentum going.
Oh, sure, and once the computer-generated voice of John Madden begins to shower you with compliments, how can you tear yourself away?
I will actually wait until, like, the quarter is over to go take a number one.
Right, right.
It's dumb, but I love it. I'm fascinated by it. I love it. The graphics are better.
Hypnotizing. Good, clean American fun right there.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I did manage to take a break away from the Madden to check out that Trading Spouses show.
Yes.
Now, we had all of those mommies on this show, or both of them. Not all of them, but in this case, it is all of them. And we didn't like the blonde. The one from California.
Had a bit of a fight with her.
And we seemed to get along better with the big fat mom.
Down to earth, Lisa Bauer.
From Massachusetts.
And I found last night to be a little different than the previous week. Yeah. A little more complicated, a little more emotionally, not in one particular direction. We actually had to acknowledge that the mom was popular with the other lady's family.
First, let me ask, isn't the California mom hot?
All right, Buzz, to an extent, yes, but because she's got that California, I work out, look at me, I'm so pretty.
Uh-huh.
There's something about, like when she was out running with the fat kid.
Right. I think she's a dollar short, to be honest with you.
I think she's spoiled.
I think she's a quart low, to be honest.
Not right?
No, she's just got that look that says, you know, I'm almost good enough. You know, right. if you're gonna be that pampered and like spend so much time on yourself and do the running and do that, I would have thought that she would look a little bit better.
And she didn't look good to me. She's
being advertised as this gorgeous trophy wife.
Oh, that's
you know.
All right.
Well, for Ahmed or whatever his name is, I'm sure that she is.
Well, he's just
from whatever country he is from. I'm sure that she's the stereotypical beautiful, big-bosomed American.
He's from the country of Dink,
blonde woman.
He's the evil one in the whole show. I mean, he was rotten, and he influenced his kids to be rotten, and I think he stinks.
Anyway, we got both of these mommies on this show, on our show, and the one that we didn't like was the one that in the finale last night they edited it, and who knows if they actually did editing or it turned out that way.
Yeah.
She's like a saint.
Yeah.
She's like, these kids are saying to her, we love you, and she's been in their house.
But can I tell you where she, and I told you this in the office, this is where she won me over. She won me over with the way she spent the money for the family. The family in Springfield, Massachusetts got everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The family in California
got braces.
Screwed. Nothing would have pleased them, though, the family in California. I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they, you know, but first of all, I agree with that to a certain extent. I also think they didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because they treated her so shabbily,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't bright enough to realize, you know, this is the person that, well, they didn't know that she was going to be spending their money.
Anyway, it's like I said with the attention
span. She punished them with the way she spent that money.
The attention span that I have, it's like, it's gone. I'm past that show now.
Me too. I'm done with it.
I mean, it was on.
I tell you, I was so thrilled with the first episode with the blonde and the fat lady.
Right.
But now.
The fat mommy.
You know, the fat mommy. The big, the hot. But I'll tell you something that lingers, and I've heard from other people. Big and hot and fat. is very, 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 very funny.
It caught on.
Big and hot and fat.
I woke up. I woke up this morning at 4:30, and I had the air conditioning turned up a little bit. The temperature was turned up too much.
Yeah.
I think I exclaimed, "Man, I'm big and hot and fat."
Hello, Tim. Don and Mike show. Tim.
Hello, buddy.
Hey. Hi.
Buzz, I just wanted to agree with you. For that lady's age, she's pretty darn hot.
Yeah.
Well, how old is she anyway?
She's got to be pushing 40.
Yeah.
No, older than that.
Early 40s, maybe.
Older than that, yeah.
And as it turns out, she had a good heart. She may be a little spoiled. Her perspective may be skewed.
See, here's the thing, Buzz. She reminds me, and I got to be careful on this, because these are women. She reminds me of women that I've known who no longer live in my neighborhood.
There you go.
Okay?
You travel in those circles.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen...
I know exactly, and I...
I've seen that Pilate, fake tan, blonde hair, right, size 8. Here's how she handled the problem, where she had an upper hand over the fat lady.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do with those kids? Let's go to the mall. Let's buy you something. Let's get out of here. Let's go. Let's buy.
But you know what? In fairness to her, she did take the kid to the restaurant. He had expressed an interest in becoming a chef or becoming a cook, and she got him to go down into the restaurant, and he absolutely loved that.
He really encouraged the girl to clean herself up, you know?
Yeah, right. I understand.
What you're hearing is that I kind of came around. I loved the Springfield lady, and I think she was completely mistreated. Mm-hmm. But I did, and based on, in no small part, on the recommendation when we interviewed her yesterday, saying that their kids, you know, were crazy about the blonde lady, I came around on her just a little bit. The guy I don't come around on is that hump of a husband she has out in California.
Here's my issue.
Who really, just those kids are going to be messed up because they're not being taught the right way to behave.
My issue with the blonde lady is this. Like, the stuff with getting the fat girl to iron her hair.
Right.
All right, maybe that would make a fat girl look better. And that's a recommendation that costs nothing. Fat girl, iron her hair.
That would make a fat girl look better.
Well,
this is funny.
The blonde mom said
that. You're the author of Hot and Fat, incidentally. And I still think that's the best thing to come out of that choppy right there.
However.
Hot and Fat. Thornton Millen's Hot and Fat.
I love that.
I do.
However, The whole thing, and this is where I felt bad for the fat, stupid mom, and I'm going to throw that in now, too, because she's stupid compared to the blonde mom. The blonde,
I think they might be equally stupid.
Well, no, see, I disagree, because this is the blonde mom. Now, really, what mother would really do this for the kid? If you're really the mother of a real 12 or 13-year-old kid who's just a schlub and a pain in the ass, and trust me, I've been there, and the countdown is deadly, only 3 days until mine leaves to go back to college.
Right.
Okay, and he's going to be a sophomore in college, and we can't wait for him to get out. We love him, but really, all signs point to you're leaving on Saturday. What real mom would say to her 13-year-old kid, even if he had an interest in cooking, I'm going to take you out to lunch today, and we're going to go to a restaurant. You can order anything you want. And, of course, she's called in advance to say, hello, a garçon. I'm bringing a hot fat boy today, and I'm going to show trading spaces and trading spouses. And wouldn't it just be great if you let him get in there and make his own Now, here's my point. If the fat, stupid mom had a brain, she could have done the same thing, in essence, if that was
the
problem.
She could have gone to Dodger Stadium and taken the kid down to meet some of the players.
But
she chose to take him to his batting cage and then just attack him the whole time. I mean, in that regard, I didn't like what she did either.
Right.
You know? I don't mind her giving crap to the father, but she was
mean with that kid.
The kids were mean to her. Yeah, I mean, they both were.
Yeah, the kids were. But when she's having how about the little princess with the guitar lesson?
I gotta agree with a fat mom. You know, hey, listen, stand up, sing from your diaphragm, which I love hearing on television.
Well, that
I
kid does seem, you know, the one thing, editing or not, that little girl did seem to be like in the reclining position at all times of the day.
That's a Paris in training right there. That's future Paris Hilton right there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if people want to talk about this show.
Of course they do.
Show's very popular.
Okay. All right, we'll take a couple of calls. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
Do you love me?
Julie, do you love me?
Do you love me? Hi, Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to comment about the children, what you were saying. The fat, sweaty children, or fat, hot children, however you want to put it.
Hot, fat kids.
Hot, fat kids.
Yeah. They accepted that, it's called a woman, the blonde woman. They accepted her because they knew how to love because their mother taught them how to love.
Hold on, I'm detecting something here, some foreign accent.
Yeah, I'm not really sure you're qualified to comment on an American television show or eligible.
Are you you from that place that we had to escape all those years ago with the Tea Party?
Across the pond.
I also escaped.
You also escaped?
Ah, well.
What country do you pledge allegiance to?
Actually, Spain.
Spine,
man.
The Rhine in Spine, size mine, the only plane.
How the hell do you get Spain? What has Spain done for you?
I lived in Spain before I moved here.
That's a beautiful country.
It's a wonderful country.
Did you live on the coast?
Yes.
Oh, the coast of Spain, how lovely.
What is the country that you pledge your allegiance to right now?
Right now, America, because I live in America.
Okay, good. She pledges her allegiance to America.
Right now.
What's your point?
This is why we need to build that wall.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that. Build me that wall.
Yeah, but it won't be. But, I mean, all that coastal real estate just goes to hell. You know, you won't even be able to see sunsets anymore.
Yeah, but think about it, Mike. Nobody
you'll be able to watch you go down beyond the wall.
No more people who talk funny like this.
Yeah, this is
everybody true. Talk American.
Big enough to keep me out of anywhere.
The wall won't keep you out, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah. No.
I'm a great believer. If you believe, you will achieve anything you want to do. No.
If you believe, you will achieve.
Like, that's right, Governor.
Yeah. I believe, and I will achieve.
Uh-huh.
Do your best. Don't let it slide. For God's sakes, the toothpaste, don't forget the fluoride.
There you go.
We're not mocking the teeth, are we, again?
We always, honey,
chance we get.
Come on, there's only a couple of things we can go to. You know, the fact that we had to kick your ass out, that we had to get our independence from you, and then you have bad teeth.
Well, we were on the moon fighting gravity. All of your folks were getting cavities.
I like it. Thank you. Clever.
While I was in Spain laying flat, you lot over here were all getting fat.
Fair enough, then.
I love her.
All right. There we go.
All right. Okay, now you were in the right. What did you want to say? You have amused us, foreigner. You may speak in this open forum.
That's right, lady. You're the boss, but please remember, always floss.
I've said this to someone before, right? You would love to lick my teeth. I have wonderful teeth.
You have beautiful teeth?
Of course I do, yes.
Great choppers.
I bet you don't.
It's just a matter of brushing, baby.
That's right.
Are they artificial?
No.
Are they Da Vinci veneers?
Hardly, no.
All right.
I have a few caps, but the rest are fine.
Hold on. I have a few caps. All right, I got a couple dozen.
Please to be defining few. Please to be, put a number on few. I'm going to guess at least four.
Three.
Hold on, I wanted to play
my
friends. What was the total, three?
Three.
Yeah, I had an accident, that's why I have
that. Oh, well then.
And that accident was being born in Britain.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
One now. Well, let's be sure to stay on track and try to ignore that ugly part.
Yeah, let's get away from that. Anyway, I wanted to say about the children what a nice time the blonde woman had at their house.
What? Wait, I'm sorry, you're throwing all the words like together in weird spots.
I'd like to say
the children had the blonde woman thing with
a spot of tea, blimey.
What is your point?
The reason that she was loved by them was because they knew love. They were taught love by their mother. The other two, the brats in California, I mean, horrible children.
That's a good point. Uh-huh. That's a good point.
That makes sense.
And right.
we always liked
the parents.
The big fat lady. We liked her better than the nice, pretty California lady.
I thought she was lovely. I mean, and look at the blonde woman's friends. What bitches.
Yeah, they are.
Say that?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I said it. But, I mean, they were nasty. Absolutely. I don't normally watch reality shows, but when I heard it on yours, I had to watch it.
Good.
So I taped it last night, and I watched it, I thought.
Well, it's been a bloody delight speaking with you.
When it comes to the Stones, my favorite singer is Keith. My advice to you, darling, try brushing those freaking teeth.
That's right. When it comes to Britain, we make jokes about choppers.
No problem, Fat Man.
Fat men. That's nice. That's lovely. Well, you can make a fat joke, and of course we'll make teeth jokes. And speaking of fat, can we inquire as to how many stone you might be?
Stone. That's another funny thing you guys do that's backwards.
Yes, I weigh 12 stone.
Stone.
12 stone, 8 shilling.
I probably weigh about 11 stone. About 130 pounds. I don't weigh myself.
Okay. Mm, all right. Well, you win.
This would be a good time in the conversation to go ahead and thank our country as a rule for the many times over the past 100 years we've saved your island from sinking into the water.
I don't hear her thanking us.
Nor do I.
No. I know why. Problematic. The culture's problem.
Okay, Rob.
Remember World War II?
Rob.
Hey, I love you all, but you're nuts.
What was that?
What was that, love?
I love you all, but you are nuts.
Yes, we are. Yes we are nuts.
Yes. In the words of Prince Charles, it's been lovely spanking with you. We've had such a lovely time.
Listen, darling, I don't...
Awfully nice conversing with you.
I want to end this call, but I don't have a very good seg. Let me just say congratulations to Paul and that girl with the hollow leg. toodaloo.
Hasta luego, guapos.
Yes, adios, tanihau.
Time to boil dinner.
Bye.
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 That's right. We didn't even begin to discuss the food. It's all boiled.
Be proud of Ringo.
Yeah, he's good.
Yes, we always loved Ringo ever since he did that wine cooler ad.
Hello, Charlie, Don and Mike Show, Tampa Bay, I think. Charlie.
Yes, Tampa Bay, and welcome back. God bless you both.
Hey, it's great to be back on in Tampa Bay on 1010 The Buzz. Right on.
I'm telling you. Listen, I consider a fat woman anything over a size 6.
Do you really?
So yeah. A woman, in your opinion, wow. A woman in any dress size over a size 6 is fat?
Well, seven needs to go on a diet.
Are you sure, though? Can't a woman be tall? No, that's ridiculous.
I don't know nothing about women's dress sizes. But
I do.
I know any bra in a size 8 is okay. Even a 10 is okay. I don't think a 12 is... I think once you get like to 18, 19, to 20...
Well, doesn't
24.
Doesn't it have to do with height as well? Can a woman who's a 7 be very, very muscular?
True, and you can't rely on dress sizes. You guys have seen my wife, who, although, you know, she's put on little weight, is thin, and she
you told her to hold her stomach in the other
she
night.
Wears sizes 0 through 6, depending on the maker.
There you go.
So well, what's your point, though?
Number.
I mean, but a woman could wear a 7 and still be thin?
Well...
What does God have to do with this, Buzz? You said depending on the maker.
Yes, depending on the clothing maker.
Oh, the clothing maker.
Not the supreme maker.
You know me. I keep going back to the Bible.
I heard Rob saying something the other day about his wife, Carrie, saying she's really going to meet her maker this time. I'm not sure what he meant by that.
Dressmaker, I'm sure.
Or a religious experience.
Hey, clothier.
Hello. Hello, what? Sherman?
Yes, sir.
Sherman. Hey, Sherm.
Haberdasher.
Sherman. What's going on, guys?
Oh, are you a clothing...
What's happening?
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. Hello? Yeah.
Hold on a second. We're going to have to do one of these exciting tests right now to make sure that we're going to stay on the air, because apparently there's a chance that some type of light thunderstorm is blowing through the area.
A larger bird landed on our wire.
Man,
we're still on the air.
Hey, it sounds still weird a little bit.
We went to auxiliary power.
It's coming and going.
In our headphones, it's like everything all of a sudden, all the lights dimmed and all of the headphones and the microphones sounded much...
God, Wendell!
We switched to auxiliary power, but we're still on the air.
God, Wendell, why did Wendell cause the thunderstorm again? Here he comes.
Hey, Wendell.
Back to wetter with his mood.
God, Wendell, come on.
Screwed up again, Wendell.
Well, darn.
Sorry
we didn't put enough CD machines in the air studio for you yesterday, Don.
he hangs on every word.
He gives, doesn't he?
He never disappoints.
Every word. He never, never disappoints.
It's not you, Wendell. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
It's the dirt.
It's the dirt. No, it's not you. It's really not you.
Look at him.
It's not you.
Look at him. He's always that close to total snapping.
Going right over the edge.
Right.
Winner!
But you know, when Wendell does snap, he's not taking us out. There are a lot of people he's going to take out before us.
Good. I think we're going to be bodies on pile of the bodies. I think that you and I will be... I think when Wendell finally goes crazy and does his mass shooting here,
right.
That when the bodies are all piled up, it'll be like a wedding cake.
Right.
And eventually you and I will be on top like the bride and groom.
I agree. I think we would be last. I mean, because I do think it'll be everybody in the building. But I think that we would have time to escape because he'd save us for last.
Yes. When he makes the naked disc jockey pyramid and he points to your courses. Can we put that picture on the website?
what's he doing?
He's doing that same picture with the lady with the leash.
He's doing the same build as Lindy Engel.
Lindy Engel.
Lindy. Oh, my lady Lindy.
Lindy.
I need to know what is a phone number for James the intern. James the sex machine intern.
He doesn't qualify.
I got a question for that guy.
He was catting around today.
Baby.
I saw him catting around the building.
Hey, hi baby. This is Colette, everybody, and may we speak to James the intern.
He's gone for the day.
He's gone. Okay, Colette, perhaps you can answer this mystery for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other day we were talking about these crazy kids and the wristbands that they're wearing, and I've noticed that James is wearing the yellow wristband always, and I forgot what that one meant.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Oh, Buzz?
I can look that up for you, but I can also tell you that the wide...
John Norman has come in here, and he does
yellow band he's wearing.
Hi, John.
It's for support of Lance Armstrong in...
James is wearing the yellow wristband always.
Oh, Colette has just put us on hold.
So he's doing it like to support, cancer research or something?
Cancer research. Lance Armstrong's foundation was selling a lot of those during the...
Oh, well, that's too bad. I was spreading a bad rumor about it.
Oh, you thought he was just getting sex.
And yellow, even with the sex bracelets, couldn't be more innocent. It means a hug.
Oh.
This is James, the intern.
Hey, James. Oh, she got him.
Hello?
James.
He's called in.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, it's Don and Mike. Was going to mention I saw the yellow bracelet and wanted to ask you what it was all about, but now I heard it's like a Lance Armstrong thing.
Yes, it's for children with cancer.
Well, then I
couldn't be any more innocent. You got us there.
Listen, I apologize because I told about five people today that I remember we had that list on the show. And
yes.
I thought it meant you were into water sports. I swear to God, I told about five people today.
Well, he may still be. I believe he's just this is just an elaborate cover for him trying to bed down the entire staff.
Yeah, you still use that yellow wristband to get laid, though, don't you?
Yes, all the time.
An honest man.
Yeah. All right, thank you, James the intern. Thank you, James.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, James.
And really, I'm sorry about all those things I said about you to the other people. Because I was in what, Mike?
I just, the lights dimmed again.
Don't be afraid.
I'm very afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Don't
be afraid if this ship is going down.
I want to be like a dog. I want to go underneath the table, the cocktail table with my tail between my legs.
Oh, speaking of which, I should really take this moment, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
To talk to my dogs.
Okay.
Yes. Because my dog, Colonel Clink, seriously.
Freaks out in a thunderstorm.
Goes ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the ringing in his ears, and that ends up to doggy poop everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the radio on when I left the house today because my wife's at work and my kids at work.
So your dog and I have a lot in common. I don't like thunderstorms. I have a ringing in my ears, too.
Like, you look yourself.
If I could.
Because you can.
If I could.
Because you can. What, do you got some music?
Music for Clink.
Music for Clink?
Yes.
Okay. You turn this into a joke.
We shouldn't do that. No, that's serious. That's uncalled for.
This is serious, Robbie.
Very serious business.
Listen, ass. I'm going to be talking on the radio to my dogs in the kitchen in my house.
Serious business.
What are you doing? You're confusing them now.
Right now, they're just chasing their tails.
Okay. Colonel Clink?
You gotta turn the music down a little bit. Yeah.
Colonel Clink? Where's Max Boy? Where's the Rudy? Colonel Clink? Don't you go poo-poo in my house. You be cool. You be cool. Clink? Mike, no sound effects.
Oh,
please.
Sorry.
Clink? No, right now I'm wondering, are my dogs running around the kitchen because they hear my voice?
What do you do when you really have to call them? Like, when you want to call them really, like, urgently.
Clink! Clink! Come! Come!
Oh, dear. That's freaking him out. He just hit the sliding glass door.
Dad! Dad! And then I got to talk retarded to the one dog, because it's the way I go. Rudy!
Are you retarded?
Yes.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Because it's the only way. I'll stand at the door for an hour and I go, Rudy, Rudy. And finally go, Rudy. Boom, he comes around.
That's what gets Rudy to come.
Yeah. And then there's Max, who I'll just say hi to. Max is cool. Hey, Max, what's happening? Hey, Clink, don't crap on the floor. I know it's raining outside right now, and the power's probably... Well, if the power's off, he can't even hear me.
Yeah.
How the hell am I going to figure that out?
The power might not be off. You know.
Anyway, be cool. This is Daddy speaking to you on the radio.
Don't they have a transistor?
Be cool. And that's what I say to the dog. Be cool.
Mm-hmm. Sit.
Roll over.
Now stop that, because they'll do it, and then...
Play dead.
Then there's not going to be a COOKIE involved. That's how we get, you know, we say sit and it's...
There's not going to be a what involved?
Mike, a COOKIE.
Oh.
A DOGCOOKIE.
Like a biscuit?
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Oh, now you
thanks,
said it.
Ace. Like they don't know the word biscuit either.
They do know biscuit? Well, then why did you say cookie?
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
You're killing me.
Now I've destroyed the whole family unit
the whole
at home.
You are just... Anyway, this this ends my message to my dog. We're at home right now. Alone, and I normally wouldn't give them a shout-out, but...
You want a bulletin?
Colonel Clink flips out when we have thunderstorms.
You know what I heard?
What?
This recording?
Yeah?
Not all the same dog.
Go on, get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on, stop your joshing, Mike.
That's what I heard.
Stop your joshing.
My story, I'm standing by it.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah, and I heard that James the intern has the yellow thing on because he likes Lance Armstrong. Right.
Sure.
Right. Not because he likes other water sports.
Yeah, you bet he does.
He does. when we come back here, we'll be joined... by a guest.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still learning what the show is all about when you have guests. Her name is Jill Ann. Her name?
Her name is Jillian Spaulding.
It will fascinate you.
She's a playmate model. She's been in Playboy, naked in Playboy. But the reason we're having her on is she has written a tell-all book about Hef's sex secrets and, more importantly, life in
the grotto.
The grotto.
So come down with me to the grotto, and I'm going to take another one of these blue pills.
So we'll have this gal on. Plus today, Huey Lewis on the show, and I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who's the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. Arlie Emery.
Arlie Ermey.
That's, Private Pyle.
Legendary actor.
What is your major malfunction?
Arlie Ermey.
We got a pretty jam-packed show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The fun is, it seems like you hate crime in a sort of personal way, if you don't mind me saying so.
Why do you say that, sir?
This is last night. I noticed you were, let's say, more than slightly miffed, huh? Didn't you, Roger?
Yeah, yeah.
Any particular reason?
About 150,000 of them. That's how many bullets were zinging around my neighborhood growing up. Couldn't go outside. Couldn't go near a window. Lived on the floor, ate on the floor, slept on the floor, watched TV on the floor. See, I didn't learn how to walk till I was 10 years old. Spent most of my formative years nose to nose with the family beagle. You know, when I'm working on a crime, I ain't thinking about the crime. I'm just thinking about that goddamn floor that pisses me off.
The Don and Mike Show. Working delightfully non-blue, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. And I know you're wondering, whatever happened to the Blow Monkeys? Many of them are now working in sales. Infinity Broadcasting. But no, they were a band. Do you remember this?
This the Blow Monkeys?
That's right.
That Sound of the City I like so much.
It's that Ryan Seacrest metrosexual before metrosexual was what it is, right?
They were metro before metro was cool.
Right. Joining us now, here we go.
Oh, I got the wrong music.
All right, hold on. Turn off the joy. Here we go.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Jill Spaulding.
Jillian,
excuse me. Playboy, 20-02. She plays poker professionally. She's a clothing store owner.
She's a sexy lady. She's a poker player. She's been to the grotto.
She's written a book about the grotto.
Yeah.
Excellent. Tell-all book. I love it. And now here she is. And her website, which we're supposed to hit 1,000 times, is www.JillianUpstairs.
Jillian Upstairs.
Jillian. Did I say Jillian? I'm sorry. Jillian.
J-I-L-L-A-N-N.
Jillian Upstairs.
How are you hot guys doing today?
Oh, yes. Flattery will get you everywhere.
We're hot and fat.
We're hot and fat, Jillian.
How's Don and Mike, huh?
Yeah, we're great.
We're okay.
Doubt you're what you just said you were.
How are you, baby?
I'm awesome.
So you, let me see. You were in the magazine.
I posed for Playboy April 2002. That's when it was published.
Okay.
I actually did a celebrity shoot for Playboy.
Who do you work with?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you said a celebrity.
Oh, I was a celebrity.
Oh, you were the celebrity.
Okay, well, that's right. When you say Playboy and you say celebrity shoot, well, I know that like, in years past.
Yeah, like Carmen Electra, she would be considered a celebrity shoot instead.
But in the old days of Playboy, you used to have guys that were like, movie actors and TV guys.
Tony Randall,
those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the dark ages.
I was just celebrity poker players.
Gotcha.
Poker player.
So you got out of the Playboy thing, and you wrote, the reason we have you on the show is that you wrote this book that we're dying to read, this book about what it's like being a playmate and living with Hef. And
I think all guys, we've said on this show that we've always wanted to go to a party at the Playboy Mansion because it just looks so
wild.
It does.
Keeping in mind that we don't do the same show that we did, pre-Janet Jackson, let me just ask you, was it part of your understanding that you were going to have to, be with Hef? To get in, okay, so it was. Did he have to take a pill?
I didn't see him take it, but I think for sure, yes.
Was he? So are we to assume that any
buddy that lived in the mansion. And how many girls at any one time would live in the Playboy mansion?
You know, it fluctuates. Normally there's about seven.
Seven girls.
God.
Wow. Seven hot Playboy models. And they all, it's an understanding that they all are going to have relations with you.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Now, there was like 12 of us. First night that I ever was up there.
12 women and Hugh Hefner?
Right. Seven of them lived there, and the rest were either flew in or drove in.
Wow.
So having said that, and that sounds like a pretty sweet deal.
Perhaps.
And I'm sure you made a few shekels. What is it that pushed you over to make you want to write a book? Because I don't think there's been like a tell-all book.
I don't think so.
The first person.
Yes, he's done a pretty good job of keeping everybody in a circle.
Exactly.
What is it that you're writing about him that we would find so, if you'll pardon the pun, titillating?
Right. Well, one thing is when you know, there's a whole bunch of rules to kind of prepare the girls, because Hef likes everything exactly a certain way.
I'd love to hear the rules.
Does he? Like what?
We all have to wear matching pajamas.
God.
We have to take a bath.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, that's probably good.
Yeah, and
Now, wait, you say a bath. Is it a bath, not a shower?
It is a bath.
And is it a bath by yourself or with others?
Up with others.
Really? With others.
So if you live there, some of the girls have their own bathroom. But if you know, if you're sharing a room with another girl, then you're supposed to, you'd have to take turns or...
So, I mean, you were there not long ago, and I mean, he was a man of advanced age even back then.
Yes.
How does he do in the bedroom, if you don't mind me asking?
Pretty kind of disappointing.
You know, you don't sound, when somebody writes a book like this, you don't sound angry at all. You sound like you just, but you felt like maybe somebody should tell this story.
That's truth, and people immediately think, the opposite, that I had some underlining revenge or something, but like all the profits go to charity. Crisis Center.
I saw that.
Please to be rating Hef on a scale of 1 to 10 as a masculine lover.
Definitely doesn't have it going on.
Really?
You would not even give him a 1?
You know that he just lay there.
I wish this was the old show.
Remember I said that we don't do the same show that we used to do?
Do you get the impression, when you're all up there in the boudoir with Hef, that it's just, is it kind of a stage show? Is it kind of just a phony thing?
Fake. I was so sad. I was like, gosh, at least you guys could fake it.
Apparently, one night they were having dinner, and not everyone came to dinner on time.
Yes, not everybody came to dinner on time. That's how we can put that.
That was the problem.
What is the, of all the things, and remember, we are doing the post Janet Jackson show.
Just say you're lucky you even got booked on our show. 6 months ago, we would have had you on like yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking. I was talking to somebody else about having you on the show,
and they were kind of scared.
And it was kind of like a sex slave type of thing. Where now, say you go out there and you've got a contract with Playboy, and you go to this mansion, and were there girls that would say, "Hey, this just isn't my cup of tea," and would they be allowed to split, or are they threatened with their jobs? I mean, how does that whole thing work?
No, I never had a contract, so I wouldn't really know. But just from rumors and different things, you have to participate, or you're not going to be invited back.
Yeah.
Oh, ever?
You have to have sex with Hef. That's just the bottom line.
Did you ever hook up with the smarmy Craig Kilborn?
Definitely.
Oh.
He's in the book.
How's he?
He kind of follows in Hef's.
Oh, he's not too good? What about Simon Cowell?
I never had sex with Craig Kilborn. I just asked to take a picture with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he reached underneath my outfit and goosed me. Like physically with his finger.
Giving you a medical examination?
Not very nice.
My
girlfriend was taking the picture. I was smiling like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, good heavens.
Good heaven. No.
What about Simon Cowell, as Don said? What about Simon Cowell?
He seemed really nice, and then when the digital camera wouldn't work, he suddenly became enraged.
Yeah. I like these little vignettes.
In here.
What about Leonardo DiCaprio?
Not very friendly.
Really?
Which I was kind of surprised. Every single girl wanted to talk to him.
Is there anybody that like you loved that was fantastic that even though they were at the mansion that was just real cool?
Like Marilyn Manson and Dita Von Teese, actually.
Let me ask you about some
Marilyn older. Manson. Who the fuck?
Nice guy. Over the hill celebrities.
Looks different. But he has to be nicer.
Mm-hmm.
What about Dick Van Patten? You ever see our friend Dick Van Patten there?
Yeah, not at the mansion, but I hung out with him when I live in Malibu every year.
You ever?
How about Jimmy Conn?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, do you want to stay on the Van Patten thing?
Did you ever, you know, with Mr. Van Patten?
No.
Well, what about with some of his sons?
Sorry to disappoint you guys.
Next to Hef, who's the biggest Phoebe that would come to the mansion that still would want to get it on with the girls?
It's like Phoebe. It's like
every one of them.
Every like who are some?
Well, what about James Caan?
Yeah, Jimmy Caan.
I never really hung out with him so much.
What about a guy like Bob Newhart? He's another guy that's seriously guys. See, like Bob Newhart at the Playboy Mansion right, all the time on TV.
Don't you think we need another Hugh Hefner? We definitely need another Hugh Hefner.
What about...
Oh. You know, the thing that's funny about the Hugh Hefner thing is that, you know, he's supposed to be a man's man.
Right.
And he watches gay porn. That's, like, weird.
Wow.
Yeah, when I went in the room, there's all these gorgeous girls, and I look over, and there's gay porn.
Just gay porn, man on man?
Man on man, gay porn with big screen TVs.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
You wrote all this in the book. Have you heard anything from the Playboy lawyers?
You know that every single thing I actually physically seen with my own eyes. So there's really nothing they can do. If I would have made it up, then I'd be concerned. But you know, since I physically lived it and participated.
Has anybody tried to put the squeeze on you at all? Anybody giving you any pressure?
No, actually not.
What about Scott Baio?
He's so nice.
He's so nice. Oh God, Scott Baio.
You ever
hugging on her the whole time? And
he was with his girlfriend.
Yeah, every time I've seen him with.
What about Blackie Parrish? John Stamos.
No. Just
What about
You have Britney Spears in here. What about Britney Spears?
Britney Spears. I think she was maybe going to hook up with Leo the one night we were there.
Really?
But I don't think she did. I think she changed her mind.
Spider-Man too, huh?
He was there at the same time.
Oh, he was.
He's nice. I play poker with him.
Who's the biggest jackass that ever came into the Playboy Mansion? Biggest celebrity jackass,
in your opinion?
Gosh, I wouldn't know.
Oh, come on!
There'd be one that you just said. What an ass!
About the lesbian sex and stuff, all the other stuff.
The lesbian sex?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a given. Well, the lesbian sex, that would be. But obviously, you weren't real thrilled with Craig Kilborn for doing what he did.
Well, yeah. I mean,
The way I'm here,
I would have been flirting with him and maybe talking and having a drink with him.
And then
I just posed. That was it.
Oh, so you walked up to him and said, "Let's get a picture," and he did that without even knowing you?
Exactly.
Gave an exam.
Wow.
Can you please describe the grotto for us?
Yes, the grotto. We've always been fascinated with the grotto. Tell us what happens in the grotto.
What happens in the grotto always stays in the grotto. Don't you know that?
Oh, no. Come on.
It's a tell-all. Come on.
It's a tell-all book, damn it.
Tell-all.
Actually, I've never seen anyone have any sex in the grotto, and I've been in there a lot.
Really?
No sex in the grotto.
But a lot of nudity, right?
Lots of nudity, and like on my website.
Here's a good question.
There's like 20 of us girls naked in the grotto.
Who's the oldest man that you ever saw, besides Hef, who's the oldest man that was a celebrity that you saw swimming in the grotto?
No one swims in the grotto. It's just, you know, it's like the few seconds that somebody gets in there, they film it, you know.
Oh, you mean so there's not people just swimming around?
The girls.
Is it just a photo op place? The grotto's just a photo op place?
No, but I think that they might have a heart attack. It's really hot in there.
Who's the oldest man you've ever seen naked?
You have.
Right, well, we hope you sell a lot of copies of this book. And what is the name of this book? The name of this book is
Jill Ann Upstairs, and you can go to jillannupstairs.com and order it.
Okay. So I get the crazy tie-in with the website. All right.
Are there pictures in the book, Jill Ann?
Oh yes, lots of pictures. And you guys, anyone that types in Don and Mike, get a free membership today.
Oh,
hey, well,
wow!
Get ready for bonus time on the internet, kids.
That's for sure.
But it is just over 18, so just to be
Be over 18.
Click.
Wow. And but you still have to put your username and password in. But it is just my fan site for friends and
okay. Buzz, can we bring up a picture of Jill Ann?
Yes, we can.
At www.jillannupstairs.com.
That's the book site, but.
if you want to get to the...
There she is.
Jillian.com.
Well, you're pretty. You got blonde hair.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very pretty.
Jillian, if you could tell Hugh Hefner, if he was on with us right now, if you could say one thing to Hugh Hefner, what would you say to him?
What have you done to the girl next door?
What have you done to the girl next door?
What have you done to the girl next door?
Very quick answer.
All right. Listen, thanks for your time, Jillian.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Bye-bye.
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 Hey,
bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye, Jillian.
Bye.
Whatever.
Bye, whore.
Oh, God. No, no.
Well, she ain't the girl next door, judging from the pictures. Not in my neighborhood, anyway. Wait till this one comes back around, though. She's obviously had a little enhancement happening there. Like, a lot of enhancement.
Right. Welcome to the world of both.
Hey, was that her with Clinton? I swear to God, it looked like there was a picture of her. Was there a picture with Clinton?
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
It's her with a bunch of... Is that Michael Jordan?
Gene Simmons?
I can't tell.
It looks like maybe Penn from Penn and Gillette?
There's Clinton DiCaprio. There's Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
I don't know who that
guy
is.
Some schmuck. That's
a good time at that party.
That's Jill Ann.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Beth Ann.
Beth Ann upstairs.
I'm going to write a book.
Beth Ann upstairs.
And, you know, poor Hugh.
Yeah.
Watching his gay porn. Not being able to satisfy the bunnies. You know? Come on, don't pick on an old man. Look what he's done for America.
Watching man-on-man film on widescreen.
While the bunnies are in the bed with him. Come in here, it's total decadence. The grotto is simply a photo op.
I don't believe that. I thought they swim in the grotto.
Yeah. Maybe.
And I wanted to hear that Abe Vigoda was swimming in the grotto. That's what I wanted.
I like the matching pajamas.
Yeah.
Required.
Yeah, like required. 12 girls.
It's a little Elvis-like, isn't it?
Yeah, except, well, you know, who knows?
Right.
Elvis in the gay porn.
Excuse me, Chrissy.
So.
I'll need you to go back upstairs. It's apparent you haven't bathed today.
I just don't want to believe her.
What? Yeah,
well, the gay porn and, you know, not
why?
Being a good lover. Well, it's
who
half.
Cares? Look at him. He's an old guy. He's like David Haynes, for God's sake. I mean, he looks David Haynes.
Have you lost any respect for Hef?
No.
I haven't either.
Good.
No.
More
no.
power to you, Hef.
I think it's funny that he's watching gay porn. He's taking his blue pills.
She didn't even sound like she was mad at Hef. She just thought she was telling him what's going on.
Yeah, just telling some secrets. I think the biggest thing I got out of that was Craig Kilborn. You ever go on that show?
Yeah.
Brother, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Wash your hands.
Don't let him shake.
And
oh, man.
Talk about it. How you doing? Yeah. How about a photo op? Hey, how about that?
Hey, Mr. Pinky.
When you leave the room with Craig Kilborn, back out.
Right.
Dr. Kilborn.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. Of all that entire interview, he was the one that came out looking the worst.
Craig Kilborn.
Craig Kilborn.
That's Craig Kilborn.
How you doing?
Craig Kilborn.
Let's get a photo op. Yes, sir. Let my fingers do the walking.
How you doing? We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury. I have deeper thoughts on my mind. The other day, I was thinking about volunteering to help teach underprivileged children to learn how to read. And just thinking about it was the most rewarding experience I've ever had.
Derek, I don't think you're cut out for that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I could even have my own institute. We could call it the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read. Good.
The Don and Mike Show.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You freaking idiot!
Now, even moister, the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, here we go, station break. How about Spokane? K-Fan, KJRB. Pittsburgh. WURP. Bakersfield, California, KGEO. And Austin, Texas, where they'll hear this tomorrow. The Coyote, 104.3. I don't even have a comment on our tape-delayed broadcast there.
Oh, Coyote.
I don't even have...
Come back to the den.
...a comment
the on... Coyotes live in dens?
I believe they do, yeah.
Countdown, I just want to mention this, just for me, for my own sanity. 3 days. Now, actually, less than 3 days left.
Less than 3 days, and your son will be returning to college.
That's right. My wife and I this morning had to have one of our little powwows. Not a fight powwow.
No, a meeting.
A kind of a pep session, for each other, saying, next week at this time,
yes,
he'll He'll be back at college.
And love will guide the stars.
It's just... this. It's just this. And some lady called yesterday and said that she could relate to this. So if you can, that's wonderful. And if you can't, well, you just give me 60 seconds to get this off my chest. I love him. He's done everything that I've asked of him. He's gotten a job. He's gotten in shape. He's got his S together. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go back and attack college. Yet he still manages to do things that I find indefensible in the fight that I have constantly with my wife about my kid. For instance, when he came back from school early because he had his shaky fourth quarter of freshman year, he came home like 3 weeks before everybody else. And that was fine. And I said to him, you know, listen, you pissed me off. You almost ruined your first year of college. You got so much promise. I'm taking away the gas credit card. I'm taking away the Visa card. Pal, find out what life is like in the real world. So he surprises me. Shows some initiative. You know, suddenly the kid that couldn't sleep, he couldn't wake up until 3 in the afternoon, who's getting up in the morning, go to work. Suddenly he's got a job. Things are going good. So I said to him, as kind of an incentive thing, I said, you know what, I'm really proud of you. And he's like bummed money off me and paid back. Wow. You know, he's even called the show.
$40 he needed one day.
Yeah, he said, I need to borrow $40.
Right.
And every time he's paid me back without fail. So what I said to him in June was, okay, now, this is going to be a bold step and a bold experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you back the Exxon card because I'm proud of the fact that you're driving to work and that you've gotten your stuff together and that you're going to go back to college and kick ass. And he said, okay, great. Now, my wife says to me, 2 or 3 days ago, when she's paying the bills, she says, and right away, I know it's bad. She goes,
she has a certain tone.
It's just the, can you come up here for a minute, please?
And you immediately know that alerts you?
It's the fake friendly that is masking. But fortunately, I've discovered that there's the fake friendly that means she's mad at somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up there because I know if she's mad at me, she'll just yell, hey, you know, jerk, come upstairs.
Boy,
so,
your wife and you communicate in a more complex way than the reef squid that I saw on the Discovery Channel the other night.
So I come upstairs and I say, what's up? And she says, look at this. And it's a bill. It's a credit card bill for the gas card.
Oh.
And I say, okay.
$17,000.
Now, she says for her car for the month, and she drives to work and drives to whatever, you know, fabulous, you know, meeting she has, it's like $120.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Me, I definitely go to work every single day.
Right.
And I like to drive. And when I go to the cheapy gas station, the Exxon, that you say, you want the car wash for $5? I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I'm...
Every time?
Pretty much.
Yeah, your car is always clean.
Pretty much.
It is.
So mine is like $210 for the month, which is a lot of money.
And both of you drive back and forth from the beach, so that accounts for some of that. And those are pretty typical gasoline bills.
My son's portion, this is just for the July bill.
Mm-hmm.
$780.
Oh my God.
Now, Frida throws this bill at me.
Whoa.
And she says, what do you think, pal? And I said, all right, I'll bring it up with him. And this is where he just keeps killing me. That Frida, of course, had a giant conspiracy plan. She looked at this and she said, you know, he must be buying gas for his friends. That's the only way around. Because look, right here, on 529, he put $37 worth. And then on 530, he put $34 worth. Then on 6-1, he put $37 worth. So I've got all of these things going on in my head. I finally sit him down. I go, you're killing me with this bill. I go, it's not like you're paying me for this. But tell me, how the hell do you do this? He said, Dad, you said that I had the credit card to drive to work. I said, that's right. He said, when I have put on, since I've come home from college, and this is not even 3 months now, almost 10,000 miles on my car.
Wow.
He said, if I drive from our house in Virginia, downtown, he has two jobs. If I drive, what I'll do on a normal day, he said, is I'll drive from our house downtown,
Then I'll drive from downtown back home. Then I'll go from home to my other job in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I'm done there, I might go back downtown to see some friends, then go back to this other part where the friends live by my second job, then come back at home. I said, so what's the deal here? You're killing me with this. And he said, all the gas that I spent was for work. And I said, I don't follow this. And he said, it's...
Well, I know you, and I know you got that math thing. Did he kind of try to add it all up?
Yeah, and here's the thing. The little rat came up. What I did was said to him, because we got the ground rules when I told him I'd give him the gas credit card.
Right.
The ground rules were, I'll pay for gas that goes for work because you're saving your money from work for when you go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He would indeed go to work,
mm-hmm.
but he would also make 18 gazillion stops
right.
on the way to work, and I'm not talking about stops that were on his way.
Oh, like he'd go see friends and stuff?
Yeah.
A lot of driving.
And a lot of times he would get done with work, drive to a friend's house, drive all the way back to where we live, then drive the friend back to where the friend lives, and technically that comes under work because they left work, and Bart said he
would... If you're talking about a fill-up, like you at one point you mentioned 2 days in a row. That was a full fill-up, right? Yeah. Like $37?
Yeah, he said that's like three-quarters of a tank.
Yeah. Well, like going to work and going out to his friend's house?
Yes.
Wow. But the mileage doesn't jive, does it?
I don't know. I don't know if the mileage jives or not.
Could any of this be like convenience store beverages and sandwiches and stuff?
No, that I've weaned him on that.
Yeah.
Where
do you line up on the theory that maybe he is buying gas for his buddies?
Well,
why would he do that?
Because,
I mean, wouldn't he get, I mean, really, I mean, I'm thinking like a teenager right now.
If I'm doing that,
hey, if you give me, I'll give you $37 of gas if you give me $15 cash.
Maybe, but he's got a job where he's making, as far as I can tell,
decent enough money.
A kid his age, yeah, he's making a pretty good hourly wage. He's working hard. I don't think Frida was convinced that he's buying gas for other people.
How does she feel about it now?
Well, it's like everything. She's left it in my hands. This is why the countdown to getting my kid to college is all-consuming for me, because every day there's another new wrinkle. Every day there's another mystery that I have to get to the bottom of.
Do you buy the fact that he would fill up 2 days in a row by just going to work and back?
Maybe I'm stupid, but yes, I do.
I wish I knew because, you know, I don't put that kind of mileage
on
my car.
I know this about my kid. Now, I don't keep total track of him every time he comes and goes.
Right.
But I can't tell you how many times he's gone to work, and he works in the District of Columbia for one of his jobs. So he's got a commute in rush hour traffic, no doubt. He, after work, goes see his girlfriend who lives like in Bethesda, comes back home. I can't tell you how many times he comes back home, and then he says, like, at 9 o'clock, I'm going out. I'll be home by curfew time. This is where he's killing me with this gas thing. Because that's when he's going out, and I guess...
And that's probably when he's going to see his friends in Albany.
I don't even know. There was a trip to Myrtle Beach this summer that wasn't even involved in the $700 gas bill.
Wow.
A $700 freaking dollar gas bill.
You know, it's a very simple thing to...
What?
Rob says he's still driving the monster truck.
It's like a little Halliburton.
It would seem to me to be a very, very easy thing to calculate. You calculate what the mileage is, roughly. You know, you get a ballpark idea what your miles per gallon. And then you add up the miles, and you take the maximum...
I just believe him. I don't think that it's any scam. I see everybody.
Three
calling.
More days, Don.
Everybody's calling, mm-hmm. saying, "Is he getting cash on this deal? Is he getting cigarettes? Is he buying beer?"
You don't think he's going to like the convenience
store? No. See, here's the thing. I've been through this with my kid before. I've already been through this, and before he wasn't bright enough to know that he couldn't stop at Exxon and charge $4.83 worth of stuff, and I wouldn't know that it wasn't gas.
Well, doesn't this also fall into the category of fight the right battles?
You know, yeah. Well.
What are you going to do, hire a private investigator, you know?
Right, I believe him. Here's what I think. I said to him, it's my fault. It's my freaking fault. I gave him the credit card because I said, here you go, I'm proud of you.
go ahead. And you know what he did? He just took it. It's like what Jack Kent Cook said about Joe Gibbs. You know, I gave him an unlimited budget, and he shot right
he
through
exceeded.
It.
Right.
Yeah, he exceeded it. That's exactly what it is. Mm. So whatever retribution I have to get out of my kid, I'll get out of my kid.
Oh, okay.
But suffice it to say, whatever I get, even if it was $700 in pennies that he had gone down and minted himself, it wouldn't be good enough. It wouldn't be enough of a sacrifice in the eyes of my wife.
Mm.
Because I'm the easy one, as it turns out. And that's the new name now that she's given me. Way to go, hard ass.
Well, I mean, you can be tough sometimes, but I mean, I think you're choosing your battle, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
the way, that's what I get on it.
He pays you back. He can use as much gas as he wants, I guess.
The only thing that pisses me off about Bart in this regard is his answer. Because I know that there's a very logical part of this kid's brain. He's a smart kid. But when he says to me the answer for almost anything that comes up that we disagree about, his answer is, I'm 19. That's the answer. Now, really.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, like,
because
he justifies
19,
all his stuff?
Because he's 19, well, when else am I going to be crazy? When else
Whoa,
am I going to...
that's not good.
I'm 19. Well, now, hey, don't be hating. Don't be hating.
What do you mean?
Well, when you said that's not good,
don't be hating?
Oh, that means don't. You're taking it too literally. I don't think that it's that bad.
He doesn't say that, but did he say that for everything? I'm just trying to get. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand
an awful lot, and
really?
I think it's.
You know that I listen to all these discussions.
I think
more of an attentive ear than probably anyone.
I think it's a boy thing rather than a girl thing.
And you know, this is just a study. I study this because everybody, you know, has warned me that, you know, this is down the road. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's a dilemma.
So anyway, 3 days until he goes back to college.
Where's the closure? Where's the? You just say, hey, to hell with it, or what?
Oh, no, he's got to pay back. He's got to pay back for the thing. But he doesn't have $700. Hold on a second. I bet this is him calling in. Hello.
Hey.
I was just mentioning it's only 3 days until you go back to college.
I do have the calendar, but I haven't worked out to hours and minutes.
All right, please be telling everybody how it is that you spent $700 in gas in 1 month without buying gas for friends, buying cigarettes, buying beer, or whatever else. How is it that you spent $700 of my money for gasoline?
I didn't know it was that much when I was doing it. I just knew it was every other day and sometimes every day getting a tank of gas.
Wow.
Hold up. Mike, go ahead. Uncle
no,
Mike.
It just doesn't, I mean, traveling down to, you know, like maybe to the beach or something like
no,
that.
No, he goes, see, I don't want to get specific about, he goes from
I go to Anacostia at least 2 days a week. I work in Bethesda.
So
I'm in Bethesda every day, and usually I spend like two or
I'm not,
three
I am
hours.
Not qualified to ask any, because I don't have that math mind as far as what it is. But how many miles is it, you know, roughly to Anacostia? What's it, 15 miles?
Here's the deal.
In Russia.
Say I estimate I'm in the car 2.5 to 3 hours. I'm in the car right now.
Of course you are. Where else would you be? You're in the car right now.
2.5 to 3, so that's roughly an hour to work, hour and 15 minutes to work.
But you've also got the joy rides at night, like when you had to go out and get the ice cream.
And going out at night. So maybe 3.5 to 4 hours in the car.
3.5 to 4 hours a day in the car. And I mean,
that's legit then, I would imagine.
I asked him right up front, you know, are you buying gas for other people? What's going on? And he just said no. And it's just, the fact is...
I'll go in and get a soda sometimes, but it's not like I'm going in and buying the store.
If he's in the car 3.5 to 4 hours a day...
3 days until he goes back. That's all I want to say. Only 3 days left, and we're going to get all the loose ends tied up in the next 3 days.
Oh, no.
And a wonderful scene this morning at my house, incidentally, as well. When Frida, here's the deal. Bart's car, there was a recall on the car that I've so graciously supplied you. So
yes.
The deal was that the car had to be at the Nissan place this morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Frida
no,
said,
the notes at 8 to 9:30.
Well, Mom had to work today, so that means that the schedule was moved up a little bit. So once I got past the initial this morning, waking up and hearing Frida upstairs, you know,
pounding it. Like, I'm downstairs doing what's known as show prep, a.k.a. work.
Right.
I'm actually sitting at my desk, and here from upstairs.
Bert, you better get up. Bert, you better... Ma'am, amen. Ma'am, amen. Bert, if you're not in the car by the time I get in the car, you're not taking the car back to college. Do you hear me? Ma'am, I'm getting up.
And then I walk into the middle of this and I go, what's going on? And she says, nothing, nothing. It's between Bart and I. So now she comes back. She comes back. They've gone to the car dealership this morning. They drop off the kid's car. My wife's got to drop my kid off so that she can go to work. She comes back inside my house, and I said, what are you doing here? And she said, he's sleeping in my car. I said, what do you mean he's sleeping in my car? She says, I can't wake him up. He's sleeping.
So did she really try to wake me up?
Yes. So
I'm not kidding. I did not know she tried to wake me up.
So the deal is, at 7:30, 7:40 this morning, my wife, because she's a great woman and a great mom, and she puts up with all your crap,
yes,
she gets up to follow you after a big fight to wake you up, in which you've asked us to wake you up so we can handle this car thing.
But I did get up in time.
She follows you to the dealership. You drop the car off. Then mom comes back home. Keeping in mind, she's at home like at 9 o'clock. She's got an hour to get to work. She comes into me, and she says, all frazzled, and she's got her Kathy Lee work clothes on. You know what I mean? She's all dressed up. She comes and she goes, listen, I don't know what to do. I go, what is the freaking problem?
So she couldn't go to work because he was sleeping in her car.
What is the freaking problem now? She said, he's sleeping in my car. I said, and? He won't wake up.
Wow.
Doesn't that mean like I'm kind of in a coma?
Maybe a little narcolepsy or something like that.
I don't know. You know, you got the late hours. Man, you got the Elvis hours. You really got the Bass Ackwards hours. You should work an all-night shift. You really
I would.
Should. I know would. You would. You would if you could. All right, well, that's all I have to
well,
say
my
to
hours
you.
Are fine for my schedule next semester, and you know this.
Well, and you know that that's the way it's got to be.
Right.
Because I love you more than anything. But what happens if you screw up this time? And I'm serious, Barty.
I'm out of the house.
That's right. You're goddamn right. I love you, and I swear to Christ, I'll kick your ass out on the curb. On the curb. See, he knows. That's why I tolerate a lot of this other stuff, because I pray he knows that I mean this, that I cave in every once in a while with him. But on this, I am rigid, and I am. There's a part of me that's actually almost ready for it,
really.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not looking forward to it, but I've kind of challenged my son and said, the last year you kind of had, you know, you didn't take the year off, but you screwed around and you let your grade point average drop and you missed a bunch of classes.
But even since high school, haven't you been waiting for me to just fail?
Now, what do you mean?
Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way.
I do think that you have had a
charm. The lucky thing, the lazy lucky.
I do think you've had the charm life, just like when you came back this summer. I was hoping that reality would give him a big kick in the ass, that he would come back from college, and that I've taken away money, I've taken away credit cards, he's going to be screwed. Instead, the boy that has absolutely no get up and go, the very first day finds an ace's job,
right,
that pays him over $10 an hour.
It doesn't pay me over $10 an hour, Dad.
Well, it pays you a very good... I know you didn't want me to talk about that, sorry.
I'm happy with how much, but it's not over $10.
Let me just say, he's making a pretty good salary for a 19-year-old kid, right? And see, I was thinking that once he got home and he realized no credit card, no gas card, even if he's got a car, he can't drive anywhere. He's got
three words for when he goes back to school. Magna cum laude. There you go.
Anyway.
Magna cum laude.
Bart, would you like to entertain some calls from listeners?
Fine.
Fine?
Fine, he said.
All right, let's see what they...
I don't think they're going to be positive.
Well, I don't know. Hello, Julie. Yeah, you're on the air. Bart's on the phone.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike. Hello, Bart.
Hello.
Did you see a little movie called Reality Bites with Winona Ryder?
Yes, I did, and Ethan Hawke.
Okay, do you remember what she did with her daddy's Chevron card?
Yes. I'm not...
Why don't you enlighten all of the rest of us? What did she do with her father's card?
Okay, well, Dad was cracking the whip and saying, well, let's just say, saying everything that Don just said in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah?
And so he said, listen,
I know you have responsibilities, so I'm going to buy you gas for your car, and that's it. So she camped out at the gas station, and when somebody wanted to pay cash, she said, let me put that for you and put it on my card. So she did that, and she had lots of cash at the end of the day, Bart.
Oh, I don't think, listen.
That is not my job. I'm sorry.
While that is a good plan, that would require actual work on my kid's part. He'd have to actually go to the place, scout it out, do that.
Right.
Don't think that's happening. Here's another call for you, Bart. Here's listener Mike. Mike, hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Hey, it's going fine.
Hey, I just called to kind of give Bart a little bit of a hand here. You know, everybody's giving him a bunch of crap, and I kind of think he might be up on the up and up.
I'm really a jerk dad for making a big case about a $700 freaking gas bill for 1 month. For one car.
No. I'd question it, but, you know, I drive probably 2 hours each way every day, and I don't know what parts drop, but I got like a...
He's got a Nissan truck.
Good, so it's like 6-cylinder or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he probably gets like, you know, upper teen gas mileage. Well, I get like 30-something, and every month I wind up putting up like $300-some each month.
Well, that's great. You put about $300-some. My son put double that.
Inadvertently, he didn't help your son's
my
cause.
My son put double that in 1 month.
Yeah, but my car probably gets double the gas mileage.
What?
I probably get double the gas mileage. I got a little 4-cylinder car. I get 30-some miles to the gallon.
Right.
And
so
he only drives.
I'm doing city driving a lot of the time.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I'm doing city driving.
Hello, here is George. George, down in Mike's show. Hello, George.
Hey, what's up? Bart, what's going on, man?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. I'm just calling because my dad's been busting my balls, too, for, you know, lounging around too much. But you guys got to understand, man, we stay up pretty late just partying, hanging out. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know what Bart says. I mean.
Yeah, we have to understand.
Yeah, we have to understand that.
Come on, man.
That's right, Ferris. We have to understand that.
Yeah, we have to understand that, Don.
Right. All right, dudes.
That's just how it is, you know. I mean, we're young. We get off work.
Good day to you. You're not my kid. I'll hang up on your ass. Anyway, all right, that's it. I was just mentioning that, It's 3 days to go.
Hey, Bart, if we don't talk to you before you go back, you know, good luck with everything down at Clemson.
Thank you. I was going to come in today, and then I decided against
it. I wish you had.
Well, good luck, Bart. You were going to come in. Here we go. Now we're going to play this game, the guilt game. You were going to come in except what? Because I'm talking about your gas thing on the air?
No, the place I work downtown, we're hanging out tonight because I'm not going to see him again.
Gotcha. See, even nicer. He was going to come by work, but then he got a better offer.
Whenever I tell you, you say we're booked. So I don't feel.
Well,
bad.
I know. Well, see, here's the thing. I don't want you to be like Cody Gifford. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know?
I'm bringing it up to you. It's not like you're telling me to come in.
I know, and you said I want to come by the show, and I said that's great. If you want to come by work, I like having you by work, but God, there's a part of me that wants to throw you on the radio because, you know, I think you're an interesting kid.
So what are you doing tomorrow?
No, you've already been on the show 20 minutes today. I don't want you on 20 minutes tomorrow. You know,
sorry.
And tomorrow, listen, hello, McFly. Tomorrow, you got to start packing your car. You got to get that futon out of Mom's car. We got to move that into my car. You got to get your boxes ready. You got to get your school books ready. You got to get your clothes packed. Key Rice.
Packing takes 2 hours.
Right. You know... Never mind. This is why I'm so freaking frustrated at my house.
Why?
Because you don't realize that you're not going to be able to put this job off until 8 o'clock on Saturday morning.
I know, because I got to have it packed before Saturday morning.
That's right, because on Saturday morning, what's the other last-minute thing we're doing? Oh, that's right. You have to go to driver improvement school on Saturday.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I love you. I love you no matter what the hell you're doing, but you're killing me. What did I tell you upstairs? I said, listen, Mom and I argue about you, and I try not to take sides. I try to stay neutral. But like with this gas bill, is this not true or not, Barty? I said, you are freaking killing me with this. It's like, what can I say to Mom? I can't disagree. This is wrong. This is bad. You're taking advantage of me, for God's sake.
Have your friends come to you, young man. Have your friends come to you.
Well, anyway, that's it. That's why I'm counting down now. 3 days. Until
72 hours.
Until we go back to college. And then I unload the stuff, and then you know, it's go time.
Well, it's always great. No matter what, I'm not there every day, but it's always great having him on the show.
Yeah.
He is an interesting kid, and it's a lot of fun. And he's a lot of fun, and he does have the comedy gene. He has been blessed with the comedy gene.
That's great. Let's see. Let's find the study gene. Let's find the work gene.
Right.
God.
Let's find
the...
And here's the one that... Let's find the... God, I hate saying this. Let's find the get a haircut gene.
Ha! You're such an old man.
Let's try shaving the sideburns that almost are coming in.
Well, you can't grow them either.
No, that's true.
Are they little hair sideburns?
They are.
Oh, dear.
No,
they
they're like my dad, where like it just comes in patches.
And the other gene that I really hope that you discover very soon, the hygiene.
Ah!
Hey, hold on a second. What's that that deodorant you bought that cracked my ass up? Oh, Mitchum.
Mitchum.
I use Mitchum.
And Bart, why do you use it?
So effective, you could skip a day.
I told you. We were in the grocery store.
So effective, you can skip a day.
He's doing a commercial.
He's excited.
He goes, so effective, you can skip a day. Yeah, that's right.
No, that'll come in handy in college.
All right, bud. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, I'll see you.
Take care, Bart.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
There he goes.
Don't be hating. The hell does that mean?
But when you
are you trying to get that hip new lingo that all the kids are using?
No. When you said that you were concerned whenever you thought it was a red flag, a real problem.
Right.
I'm just bitching about him. I think he's a good kid. I think the $700, I'll get it out of his ass.
Eventually. What does that mean, though? What is the don't be hating?
Well, I think he's okay. I don't think he's doing anything hinky.
He sounds okay.
I think he's doing all right.
Maybe he's calling your radio show and caring about you and if he's not okay.
He's just, kind of a pain in the ass. I love him. He's a pain in the ass, and I'll be happy. One of these times he's going to go off to college and he's going to come back and he's going to be the guy that I
Hello,
think...
Hello, father.
Somewhere between that and...
Hello, father. I'm back. Look at what I've done. I found a cure for cancer.
Wearing his Buster Brown shoes.
And I have a giant check to reimburse you and Mama.
See, what I'm afraid is that one of these times I'm going to get a knock at my door. It's going to be Rupert from Survivor. And he's going to have some knocked up South Carolina hillbilly next to him.
You that source fella?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you got can I speak to you outside for a second?
Can I meet you about your son?
He said something about a road trip.
For Key Rice's sake. All right, 3 days and counting. Thank you for entertaining that.
Do you feel any satisfaction? Did you purge yourself? Or
None.
No good was really done.
Well, he's 19.
Really. But I like it. Yeah, he's 19. Uh-huh. That's the excuse. I'm 19. And my excuse to him is I'm 46. Okay?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm 19.
Fair enough. Everybody, don't be hating.
We'll be right back. Phone scan. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Did we do a phone scan? No, color me stupid. I want to do it next, though. Thank goodness ass remembered. Thank you. Rob, come on. It's a compliment.
I know.
He loves the right music. Yeah. Let's take some phone calls.
Let's do.
On the rotating random phone scan at 877-365-3636.
All right with you, ass?
Yeah, let's go.
Don't be hating, ass. Call now. Phone scan is next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Pray for death.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Just lay me down to sleep. Phone scan here, 877-365-3636 now. John Lennon.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Right. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right, John. I forgive you for the Yoko thing. My kid is funny. He called during the break.
Yeah, I heard you talking to him.
He called during the break. First thing he says when he calls is, oh.
Oh, not the Yoko alarm. Not the Yoko alarm.
I didn't even mean it. I swear to God, I wasn't even thinking. Because I said the thing about click, click.
There
she goes. So my kid calls during the break. He says, hey, Dad, was that okay? You know, like we're doing a skit.
Uh-huh.
And I said...
It's a sketch.
I said, yeah, that's fine.
He's great at the sketch comedy. Good bit.
Then he said, you know, I only say I'm 19 when I do something really stupid.
Wow. And I said, that's good.
I said, I know that. And he said, okay, well, but, and then the last thing he said, don't say that on the radio. Well, too bad.
And that's why you say, hey. 19.
19. Right. I love him. I bet someday he achieves much, much, much more in his life, probably than Joe Ardinger.
There you go. I don't
it's
have
all
my,
about diminished expectations.
I don't have my sights too high.
Right.
Hello, Don and Manah. I bet someday he might be Joe.
Hello?
Or he might be Joe's boss. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, hey. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, man, I drive 180 miles every day to and from work, and I have never had a $700 a month gas bill. Money, most months, it's like under $400.
Right, of course. I know there's something hinky going on. What, you know, what can I do? I've had this discussion.
I mean, my car got 25 miles to the gallon. So, I mean, he can't be getting that much worse than that.
No, I don't know. He's driving the booty wagon. I have no freaking idea what's going on.
You pick the battles.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What can you do? He's going to pay back the money. There I yelled at him in private. I yelled at him on the radio.
Well, you didn't take my suggestion.
Which was?
Walk to work.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
As I do every day.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
I have got two words for you, Don, about the situation.
Yes.
You need to be careful about this. Oxycontin.
That one word.
For who? For me or for Bart?
Just be aware, because when I was 19, I'm 21 now, I had myself a problem. I was in school. My grades went down the crapper. My parents were railing me about a big gas bill, $700. I mean, mine was only like $400.
Now, dude, listen, if I could be very honest with you.
Yeah, the best OxyContin's found at most of your major service stations.
Yeah, Exxon.
Did you mention it's a gas credit card?
Yeah, and if there's one lesson, seriously, my kid has learned, because he learned it the hard way with me, it's, you know, about, like, dope and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, that's the lesson he learned through me the hard way, so that's not a concern of mine.
Absolutely. I'm going to fill up. I'm going to get a fruit pie, a pack of Marlboros, and some Vicodin, please.
God, I wish.
Thank you, Abu.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Gods of air and wind.
well, you make that one up as you were going?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I had a question for you. A couple of months ago, you had a guy on. He was a comedian and an impressionist.
Frank Caliendo. Yeah, Matt TV.
I've been looking for this guy because he was so incredible, and every time I listen to Jim Rome, I think about this guy.
Oh, yeah, he did a killer Jim Rome. Watch Matt TV.
Yeah, that's where he's on, Matt TV. And I think he's re-upped, right? He's going to come back for the next season of Matt TV.
Yes, and he's also going to be on the Fox NFL show as well.
I think you can just go to frankcaliendo.com. I think that's his website.
That is correct.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, Buzz.
Hey, hi.
How you doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Mike,
yeah.
I was just wondering, were you really when they said don't be hating?
What's that? Was I really what?
Were you really lost at what Don was saying when Bart
sir,
said, don't be hating?
Sir, let me tell you something. When I appear to be lost on this show, it is never phony. I am always totally lost. And the whole don't be hating was, I don't have kids Bart's age, and my kids are listening to Hillary Duff right now, so I'm not tracking with the don't be hating. But you know what? I know what it is now, and I won't make that mistake again.
All right, that's all I was wondering.
All right, see you later.
Jenny from the block. I don't know why I throw those things
in. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Afternoon, fella.
Hi, let me mention Arlie Ermey. I'm sorry.
He's an icon.
I know. The guy from Full Metal Jacket.
We love him.
And
many other films.
But that's where we love him from.
Well, I mean, I'm so excited to
anyway,
have him.
Anyway, he's here. He'll be here in a second.
Very exciting.
Huey Lewis is going to be on today as well. Hello.
Afternoon, fellas.
Yeah, we've made time for you. What can we do for you?
Hey, I got the impression that yesterday you thought that Santa was a little bit of a phony. I have a suggestion for you. If you ever get the chance, fooling around on the internet, check out www.jesus.com. There's a guy who exploits somebody there.
Is there a guy there that looks like Jesus who does appearances?
Yeah, I think he's from Virginia. You might actually be able to book him, but he also offers, he gives people the chance to bathe him.
Robbie?
To bathe him?
We've had him on before.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hold on. The guy to bathe him. Yes, we have had that guy on before.
Jesus.
I'd like to book them both for a private party.
It'd be fun.
I think imagine having Santa and Jesus at the same party.
They could fight it out.
Well, shouldn't they be, technically? I mean...
Ask Arlie Ermey if he can come.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going there? Rob asked. Hey, does she wear a thong?
Does Beth Ann wear a thong?
Have we ever inquired as to the underwear that she wears?
We would have no way of knowing. No way of knowing, my friend.
Can I ask her that?
Listen, can we, for one time, can we have a woman on the show?
And not make her a sex object?
That we don't turn into a sex kitten.
Although now, because of you, caller, I am just dying of curiosity.
I am too. I hear her voice, and I just know she's probably sitting there thonged out, looking all good.
Thonged out, looking all good.
Thonged out. Listen, you perv.
Are you thonged out?
We brought her in here.
She's not come in. Listen, I'll put you on hold. If she comes in and she wants to answer.
If she came in here and we asked nicely, would you mind if we asked you a question? What type, you know, do you wear? We don't have to look at it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
If she comes in, Mike.
If she comes in.
She should be in the other room listening or talking to the Full Metal Jacket
guy. But only
guy,
if she comes in.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Jack, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, I was listening to your program about your son and the $700 gas bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you take that divided by two, that's 350 gallons. That's probably about 12 gallons a day.
Thank you. All right.
Beth Ann is here. She's coming to the studio.
Thank you, Uncle Ass calling in. Hi, Beth Ann. Hold on. Here's this guy on line one. Hey, guy on line one?
Yeah.
Here she is. Now, let me just say, Beth Ann, I don't see the need to put you through this, but it's your choice.
That's okay. I can take it.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Beth, I hear you on the radio.
Beth Ann.
Oh, I beg your forgiveness.
He's nervous. Just like the bunny's name was Jill Ann.
Okay, yeah, and I was curious about her as well.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
Beth Ann, please tell me, are you thonging? Are you a daily thonger?
Thonging.
Not a daily thonger.
Just how many times a week?
And be specific.
When necessary. Yeah.
Well, can you give me like a signal when you're wearing one?
All right.
Okay, you perv.
Will somebody please admire the woman for booking guests that we've heard of on this show?
Right. Bravo.
And stop focusing on the fact that she doesn't wear a thong most days.
Some days she does, though.
Really?
Yes, what she just said.
I wish there was a signal.
It depends.
I don't think there's been a day that she's worked here that she's had a thong on. Hello, Donna Mike show. Not that I noticed, but it's just...
Well, she's worked very hard, so not necessarily naturally.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. You're on the air.
Are you speaking to me? Just want to make sure it's me.
Yeah, it's you. Hi there.
Okay, hi. Hey, I have a suggestion I'm sure you've already thought about your son. Perhaps he's selling the gasoline to
I already had that. I believe him. He drives a lot.
Thank you, lady. Shut up.
Okay.
I know that many days when I first started working in radio and I was a nervous young broadcaster, I would start out with boxer shorts, but by the end of the day, they were definitely long underwear. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hey, Don and Mike, what's
Hi.
Up, Radio
hey,
God?
Phone scan. We are taking unscreened calls, obviously.
Hey, Don and Mike, I just wondered, we can't get you guys out here on your last hour of the West Coast, and sometimes we can't hear your game, the game
Where?
That you hear.
What city are you calling from, sir?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, you got to call, what is it, Max, 910 Max? You got to call them and tell them to give you the fourth hour.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. You're very welcome. There you go. Problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you guys doing? I'm up in Baltimore. Actually, I'm in Ocean City right now, but I'm from Baltimore, and I work in a restaurant in Little Italy. And I saw this guy from Full Metal Jacket. He waited. He sat down in our restaurant.
Whoa.
Your phone is dropping in and out, and you're too loud, and it's hard to understand you.
You're from Baltimore. You're in Ocean City. You're in a restaurant.
No, I work in a restaurant in Baltimore.
Okay.
The sergeant from Full Metal Jacket came in about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
All right, is this a good story?
Banging down triple.
All right, okay, all right, enough of you. Jesus.
The guy's going to come in here and kill us.
Yeah.
So exciting.
We've never met before.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Bart, buddy, and keep milking your fat head. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got some balls on you. Why don't you stay on the phone and argue with me? Because I got your phone number.
All right. No, thanks for the $50 of premium for the 12-pack of beer.
Yeah, right, douche. Incidentally, how's your relationship with your dad? How you doing?
Excellent.
Excellent, really?
Well,
as good as yours and Bart's?
Not as good as mine and Bart's, I bet.
No, I think his relationship is maybe a little better, if you know what I mean. A little closer. Like maybe some of those Boy Scout trips.
Don't go.
You know when you were out there with your out there with your dad in the tent.
Why not, punk?
You little smart guy.
I'm
why don't you come down? Our offices are at 10800 Main Street, son.
Hey, listen, punk. Whatever, my
at least my dad isn't as fat as you, dog.
It's easy to hide behind a telephone,
son.
Son,
I bet your dad is not as fat as me, but I bet your dad. I bet your dad. Hello, is not as great a guy as I am. Ass says what? Your dad? Yeah, your dad? You want to talk about who's a better dad, your dad or me? I'll put my dadding skills.
My son isn't running up a...
Do you have a son? Do you have a son?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You're lying.
How old is your son?
All right, I don't have a son.
Yes, of course. Right. And you know what? And here's how we end this. And you never will. But
no, really.
Hold on. We'll give you the last word.
Hey, no. Hey, honestly,
Hold on, really. I know you just busted my balls, but let's just give you the last word on this. And then I'll move on.
Word up.
All right. Hit it out. Okay.
You're just trying to get a rise out of me.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's 19.
Don Mike Show. Hello.
Don Mike, Buzz.
Hey.
What's cracking, guys?
Hi there.
Hey, did you get a hold of the World Series of Poker last night where the bum was playing under the final table?
I'm an awful father.
No, why? Stop it. Stop it.
I'm kidding. Because that caller really
Don't let the mean callers get to you.
The caller really got inside my psyche.
Don't do that.
I'm now reevaluating every choice I've ever made.
Don't do that. Don't be hating.
He's not one jerk.
Last guy doesn't even know his father.
I'm sorry, but I think the way I interpret it now that I've understood on that last call, be hating.
Right.
Be hating badly. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I was just calling. Whenever my wife gets the DirecTV phone bill and she asks me, you know, why is the bill so high, I just tell her, I say, I'm 33. And then I just walk away and I ask her, I ask her, what would Jackie Kennedy do?
Oh, wow.
You're really going back.
And make sure you refer to it as the DirecTV phone bill.
Yes, the DirecTV phone bill. It's the DirecTV porn bill.
That's right.
Right.
Phone machine.
Don and Mike. Hello. Where's my porn machine?
I need to turn on that porn machine.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio guys.
Hi there.
How are you doing out here? We're out west, and Rich Little is showing up in Reno, and I'm just wondering if Mike is ever going to take his show on the road because he's so much better with the recreations.
Thank you. And
you're so much better than Rich Little.
They have approached me at all the showrooms that Rich Little is currently playing in, and I will be his fall replacement.
Aren't you working with his brother also, Grady?
It's fantastic. Grady Little's great, and, you know, he brings out the Red Sox uniform, and it's fantastic. We start the show by going, how are you anyway?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Look for Mike O'Mara, starring in Mimic in Branson, Missouri.
I think it's a better show than Danny Gans.
Hello. 10 o'clock show. You're on the air. Hello.
I'm in Baltimore. I need an opinion of a scientist.
Yes, I'm here to help.
Go ahead. Lightning storm right now, and my buddy and I are wondering if we should go tubing down the river.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Safe. The water will insulate.
Yes, you're safe.
Thank you.
Do it. But hold on. You won a prize for being the last person on the phone scan.
Break off your antenna and hold it in your teeth.
Well, we got beers, too.
And you're calling from
Baltimore,
right? Live 105.
Yep.
Well, here you go. It's the WWE SummerSlam prize pack. Mm-hmm. SummerSlam Live this Sunday night only on in-demand pay-per-view, and that's from WWE and Cox Comcast.
Great. That's awesome.
You are swell. Thanks for listening.
All right. Be safe.
Hold on.
You too.
Okay.
Yeah, remember what I always say. Be hating.
Be safe. We'll be right back with R. Lee Ermey. Okay, we got his name right.
Good Absolutely.
Job. Arlie Ermey.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life.
Baby.
Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Beth Ann. Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, baby.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thong?
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Private Piles, why is your footlocker unlocked?
Sir, I don't know, sir.
Private Pile, if there is one thing in this world that I hate, It is an unlocked footlocker. You know that, don't you?
Sir, yes, sir.
Let's just see if there's anything missing. Holy Jesus. What is that? What is that toy the tile?
Sir, jelly donut, sir.
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir.
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir.
Is jelly allowed in the barracks, private pile?
Sir, no, sir.
Are you allowed to eat jelly donuts, private pile?
Sir, no, sir.
And why not, private pile?
Sir, because I'm too heavy, sir.
Because you are a disgusting fat body, private pile.
Sir, yes, sir.
And why did you hide a jelly donut in your footlocker, private pile?
Sir, because I was hungry, sir.
Because you were hungry.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
World-class dancer, Don and Mike.
Hi there, and it's a station break. Iowa City, Iowa. KCJJ. How about Wichita, KFH. 98.7 FM, 1330 AM. Ocean City, Maryland, 96 Rock, that's 95.9. And Green Bay, WNFL.
All right.
Bring in Arlie Ermey.
This is neat. Yeah. We've been playing those tapes for years.
There he comes.
Yeah, wonderful. Great.
Private Pile, you disgusting fat body.
There he is.
And of course, then.
What a thrill. This is neat. I get excited about like two people a month.
And then there's.
This is great.
And there's. Then there's a generation that knows you as the queer guy in Saving Silverman.
That's right.
Gay individual in Saving Silverman.
That's right.
I found that to be quite a challenge, actually. When they asked me to do that role, they sent a little blip up and said the description of that character was a gay homicidal gay high school football coach. I hadn't done one of those. So I thought I'd give it a whirl, and it was fun. I like doing comedy simply because everybody has their joke and everybody has fun on a comedy set, whereas a drama set, everybody's got long faces.
You know, the thing about Full Metal Jacket, though, although it certainly it's poignant and makes its point, and it's a gut-wrenching movie, but it's one of those movies, if you've seen it enough times and you're desensitized to it, you can put it on with a group of guys, and everybody waits for the favorite scene. Now, you don't necessarily laugh when Private Pile offs himself, or you know when Joker,
but you get you've seen it so many times, and I know it's really I would say it's in our top 10 as far as favorite movies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I watched that movie. It is a movie I stop at. And the thing that I like most about that film, and I think this is really a credit to your performance in that movie. And I know you get asked about Full Metal Jacket all the time. The thing that's great about that movie, Full Metal Jacket, is it is a movie that you don't have to commit the entire time to. You can watch the first half of that movie.
Or the second half.
Or you can watch the second half. But really, I'm a first halfer, you know, because many, many times, once they get out of boot camp, and once Arlie Ermey's off the screen, as far as that, I don't get into it as much.
Yeah, well, no offense, but there are times I like the second half.
Oh,
if I'm feeling melancholy.
That movie is boot camp. That's what it's, with Private Pile. One that I watched with you in it recently, which, you know, you talk about comedy and drama, and I'm not sure what this was, but your performance in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, man, you want to talk about an actor with no inhibitions. You let it all hang out in that one, Arlie. You really did.
There wasn't anything written, you know, when I'm in a car and I have to wrap up this body in cellophane. There's nothing written. There's like a 5-minute lapse of anything, you know, and so I just started coming up with stuff. They let me write everything in that show, and I was the most perverted character I've ever played.
it was
really fun.
Have you seen it?
I've seen the movie. I've only seen his part briefly.
It's scary. It's scary because it is so completely off the wall. When you do a movie like that, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when you go into that role, I mean, I just got the impression it was so far away from your character.
Have you seen Saving Silverman?
I haven't seen Saving Silverman. No.
Okay, you're talking about a departure in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
You should really check out Saving Silverman.
Right. Well, this is the most recent thing that I've seen with Arlie in it. And, wow, that at the end of the day, how do you get yourself back to normal after when you're shooting a movie like that?
That is normal, gentlemen.
That's normal. If that's normal, I'm getting nervous right now.
How did you get along with Jack Black and the other people on that Saving Silver?
Jack was fun. Steve Zorn was one of my... We went out every evening and had dinner together, had drinks together. We bonded. It was fun. Hanging around with these guys, you know, comedians are just as funny off screen as they are on screen. They're not. It's just not something that they turn on when they step in front of the cameras. Right. They're that way all the damn time.
Now, did they for a while? I imagine if I was with you for a while, especially if you were in my movie, Jack Black and one of these guys, and I got you playing a gay guy. There's got to be a point where I'm just sitting back and I'm going, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is pretty funny. You're playing a gay guy. I mean, how long did it take them to get over? Because you are stereotype. I mean, you're the Marines all the way. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you, you son of a bitch. You look like a fighting machine today. I mean, I'd drop and give you 20, and I'm a lazy, fat ass, no good loser.
That's what makes it so much fun, is you get to depart from real life and just really let it all hang out and have a good time. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you mentioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
You like that? Well,
right.
get brace yourself, because we're going to do it again. We're going to...
Oh, really?
New Line Cinema called me up about 3 months ago, and they said everybody loved The Sheriff. All the critics had nice things to say.
Oh, The Sheriff rocked. The Sheriff was fantastic.
The show paid, doubled what the amount of money that they spent for it. That doubled the first weekend in the box office.
Right,
so,
right.
New Line, I planted the seed that, you know... That we only killed the last four people. You know, this guy Leatherface killed like something like 20 people down in Texas.
Sure.
We got about 15 to go.
Right.
So you know, if we do four a show, hell, we get three more shows.
Absolutely. There you go. I'd love to see that character again.
Is your show still on the History Channel?
Oh, it's the highest rated show on the History Channel.
No,
I'm having the time of my life. It's like every show is another adventure for me. I get to drive the tanks, fly the helicopters.
Wow. You seem like you dig being Arlie Ermey. I mean, you don't mind the, you know, as far as when you do a character that is so strong and so identified with around the country. Obviously, we've had people that react two ways. Some people accept it. Some people say, I had a tough time. Does it sometimes bug you that you are, you know, completely pigeonholed as the sergeant in Full Metal Jacket all the time? Does that bug you at all?
No, because I do every... I am. That's the guy I am.
Right.
Okay? Now, I spent 11 years in Marine Corps from the age of the day I turned 17. My parents couldn't wait to sign that piece of paper to get me the hell out of Dodge. And I got on the train and went to boot camp. And that's from the age of 17 to 25 is that's the age of when you're influenced the most. And and I thought my name was stupid before I went to recruit training. My dad had me convinced that my name was stupid, and my brother, idiot, he went in the Air Force.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
My father, I was the damn dummy, and my brother was Moron. Now, my brother did end up in the service. My brother served 5 years in the Army.
And for some reason, my father always called me Nancy. I don't know.
I'm so soft, I could never last in the service. My brother made it.
Because the reason I brought it in, I want to get this out of the way, because I'm such a Stanley Kubrick fan, and I love that movie so much. The whole, how did Stanley Kubrick, and I'll ask you, I won't ask any more questions about Full Metal Jacket. How did he discover you? How did that relationship get started?
First of all, I have to tell you that Stanley Kubrick died without permission. You realize that, right?
Right.
Stanley watched all the Vietnam War shows, and he said my name kept popping up, and I kept popping up here and there. And he called me and wanted me to do technical advice. I had read the book, The Short Timers, by Gustav Hasford, which the film was based upon. And I wrote him, I told him the book was basically full of crap.
That's all right, you can't use the BS word, but that's okay.
So it was
full of crap.
If anybody can use it, I guess he...
You can.
I sent him a book report, and next thing I know, I was on the airplane going to Great Britain to be his technical advisor, but I had taken... This was my fifth film. Metal Jacket, I'd worked on five films. Prior to that, it was my sixth film, and... I had taken two roles away from actors prior to that, and I knew that I could take he said, well, we've already got a contract for somebody to play Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. And I said, yeah, that's what you think.
Did you think when you were making that movie, and Mike, I'm going to apologize, stop talking about this.
When you
guys with war movies, you go, Apocalypse Now, great. Platoon, great. And then someone says Full Metal Jacket, and you elevate Full Metal Jacket.
It's completely a movie.
It's right up there with Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
When you were making it, did you think that it would have that kind of impact? And are you surprised now? I don't know. How many years has that movie been out? 15 years?
I was allowed, 18. I was allowed to write all my lines. Just completely ripped through the other crap away and
so wait, like, hold on. You mean like you're a disgusting fat body and all that? That's you?
Absolutely.
Oh my
God. Hey, how great. Now, I appreciate you even more.
My favorite line in the show was one that I came out with that I had lost my way and I will not stop. I will dance around until I get back on track and I'll pick my lines up and I'll finish the scene. But out came, you look like the kind of guy that would do something nasty in somebody's
yeah.
Right.
Rear yeah.
And
yeah.
Not even have the or damn comedy.
To ask for
giving a reach.
We know, I mean, we know that, you know, you
we know
my
what
heart.
You're talking about.
And, I don't know where that came from. I have no idea. I'd never heard it in my life, but it just came out like that. And wow. As far as I'm concerned, it was the smartest line in the show.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I agree.
That kind of sets the tone.
Listen, before we take phone calls, and obviously all of these lines are jammed for you, I do want to get your plug in here. The History Channel, now what is it that we're plugging today?
We're doing a fundraiser. I'm too damn old to run high port up a mountain and attack and kill the bad guys anymore, so I can't
right?
go over. I went over in Iraq twice last year. I went over in June for 2 weeks, July for 2 more weeks. I went to Afghanistan this year earlier for 2 weeks. I need to help the troops. I need to back up the troops. Right now, the biggest problem that we're having in the military is we're taking a lot of reservists away from their families.
Right.
And these families are in dire need of our help. Now, the way to help them, I've decided, is through the Navy Marine Corps Relief Fund. And these people will help the families of those over and fighting the war.
Gotcha.
We don't want somebody, some kid over fighting the war, has got a wife and 3 kids back here, and all he can think about is the worry about the wife. Last letter said the car's broke. I can't afford to get the car fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
right.
get to the supermarket. He doesn't need that kind of grief and problems on his mind. This is a fundraiser to help out the families of the families of Marines and sailors. The people over there fighting the war,
cool.
And we need to do it. It's taking place at the Rendition Golf Course next month. The date is September 10, 11, and 12. Now, September 11th, we all know what happened on
yeah,
that
we
date
sure do.
Back in 2001. So the date is significant, and I think this is a great time to kick this off. But this is who benefits from this golf tournament, this fundraiser that we're doing.
It's a whole big thing, right? You got the Gunny's Ball, a black tie gala that's involved with this also.
So this will all be in the D.C. area in about a month. So if you come back, you're going to have to come back to be in all of these events.
Oh, absolutely.
Come back and come on our show in a month and plug it again.
We would insist.
We'd love to have you. We'd love to get involved with this.
I'll come back a day early so that I can come and make sure that I'm here. And
please do.
We can make this thing happen big time. I know there are a lot of people out there that disagree with the war. But damn it, we can't not support our military.
Listen,
guys.
we are agreed on that.
Yeah.
Everybody
no matter what your politics say, that the vast majority of people in this country, regardless of how you feel and about the war, everybody feels that the guys that are over there are doing their duty and they're doing a job. And, you know, I'm sure many of them that are over there politically feel a similar way, but they still have to go in there and they have to do their duty every day.
And I think it's great you're doing this for them, but what about, you know, I'm not a fighting man. I've never been to war. But I sure would like some kind of an organization, a dance, a get-together for guys like me. I don't like hearing from my wife, the car is broken, mm-hmm. the washing machine is broken,
right.
The kid has spent $700
on
it.
You want a Don Geronimo relief fund or something like that? It's not going to happen.
But the problems, now I understand the magnified because the families are apart. They're overseas.
Right.
Never mind.
I want to.
You have to understand it takes 3 weeks to get a letter over there to them. So meanwhile, the last letter the
right,
kid
got, I know.
The baby's sick. I take him to the
I know it's awful.
Doctor. I don't have a car. Car's not working. We need a couple of bucks so we can help these families out. Navy Relief has always been there. The Navy Relief wrote me a check back in 1970. My grandfather died. They wrote me a check. I didn't have any money. Hell, I was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. I drank too much beer. That's where I spent all my money. And grandfather died, and I needed to go home on leave. They wrote me a check for $250, gave me an airfare, and off I went.
Wow.
I was able to take care of that. Navy Relief has always looked after the Navy and the Marine Corps, and they're stretched so thin right now because of the situation
absolutely
we find ourselves in with the families needing help. come on, folks, let's back these families up. We need to support these people. They're over there making sure that we stay free.
And this is the website. It's www.ermeyexperience.com. That's E-R-M-E-Y experience.com. That's where people can go to get tickets for this. Yep, they can go to get tickets there if you're interested in participating. And it's September 10th through the 12th.
And they can find out anything they need to know about the project through that website. So right. Please come on board.
A couple of phone calls, then we want you to yell at one of the guys that works here.
We need a guy that you need to deal with.
We'll see you in a month. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Ari, how you doing?
Semper Fi, doing well.
Hey, this is Whale from Reston.
Like we care. What can we do for you?
Reston, you think?
We have all these jerks that call in all the time. We can't use profanity. You know, because the FCC has changed.
Well, you have to understand these jerks and these freaks are what keeps this show, you know, going. Oh, isn't it one of the kind of one of the things that adds a little spice to it? I mean, you guys are brilliant. I've been sitting out there listening to you because I need to get up to speed before I come into this room.
Right.
Because you guys are hot. You've been doing this now for an hour or so. Or I don't know how long you've been on the air.
You're way ahead of me.
I'm sitting out there listening, trying to psych myself up to speed so I can keep up with you when I get here.
Right. No need to keep up because we're such gigantic fans.
Be you.
I mean,
you're a guy that I still go, you know, when I see you on the silver screen or I see you on that magic box, I still get scared when I watch Full Metal Jacket.
Me too!
I think that is the reason why so many guys that have not done military service actually watch and say, man, this is what it must be like. And that's a question I wanted to ask you about.
There will be a magic show! Today is Christmas!
Happy birthday! Hey, Devlin Charlie.
How accurate was your... When you were drawing on your personal experience, you did two tours in Vietnam. How accurate was your portrayal of the gunnery sergeant in Full Metal Jacket? Is that the way it was for guys that were going over to Vietnam?
I was a drill instructor. I am a gunnery sergeant.
Right.
I've been involved with the Marine Corps for 44 years. I tell everybody I've been in the Corps for 44 years because... Right. They retired me, but they never, ever let me go.
Right.
I've been with the Marine Corps. I do their birthday balls. I do 7 or 8 of those birthday balls every year. My claim to fame is I'm the first to arrive and the last to leave, and I drink more beer than anybody at the party.
Right.
But I want to tell you one thing about Full Metal Jacket. Everybody loves the show, yes. You realize the show is 18 years old, and Warner Brothers tells me that it has sold more videos and DVDs than any film in history.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's Gone with the Wind, all the classics, all of them. Full Metal Jacket has sold more DVDs. It's fantastic.
And your character is what it was like for guys going over there. They dealt with the drill sergeants
exactly
like that.
Exactly what it was like. Mm. And it's like, this film is kind of a cult classic type film that's handed down from father to son.
Generation. As I did with my son, right.
Mm. You can't see it. You can't let the little kid see it until he's at least 13 because he'd be trooping up and down the damn hallways at the high school hurling out all this obscenity.
Yeah.
Like my kids.
Hold on, here's from California. LC, hello.
All right, buddy.
Hey, don't embarrass us now.
Hi, how you doing, LC?
Pretty good. Hey, I met you first time over in Kuwait. You motivated the hell out of us over there. I just want to say thank you.
That was June or July of last year?
Yes, Gunny.
Well, you know, I try to stay as involved as I can. One of the reasons, you know, the USO has asked me to come on their tours, and I just can't do it because... They don't want to go where I go. And you know, if you saw me in Iraq, where did you see me? I was out in the middle of the damn battlefield, wasn't I?
Yes, Justin, you were out at, I think it was,
where were
Solomon, Solomon Islands.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I go out in the field. I put the uniform, the flag jacket, and the Kevlar on. I go out and get, we got in a small arms firefight. We had the rocket RPGs were twice were fired at the CH-46 Frog we were flying in. It just brings back old memories, you know, the old days again.
And do you get offended? Would you be offended when I hear the name Gunny? I think, of course, of you. Then I think of that woman from Major Dad. Remember Gunny?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
Gunny,
like a lady who looked like Miss Hathaway?
Yes, he was hardcore, though, wasn't she?
She was hardcore.
He was Gunny. Absolutely.
Right. One more call. And here is a guy named Hugh. Hello, Hugh. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
How are we doing? Great.
Hey, big fans of everybody on the show. Ernie, I just want to say, they're forgetting a big move you did. Switchback.
excellent acting in that movie. I know you normally are a drill instructor. That comes natural to you.
Well, Switchback was good. If you noticed, Billy Bob Thornton was my right-hand man in that show. That was one of his very first films. Mm-hmm. Now look where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
I taught him well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
mm-hmm. I am blown away by the fact that you wrote all your dialogue in that in Metal Jacket.
I write most of my dialogue. Generally, I've done 75 films, and generally when they hire me, they know that I'm going to fix the character. Mm-hmm. I did a show called Willard. Wrote everything I said in Willard.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
With Crispin Glover. You're goddamn right. I saw you in that movie.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There literally was nothing written for the sheriff.
Wow.
I came in there and here my role was nothing.
Right.
And
Crispin Glover sit in a corner and rock back and forth and talk to himself or anything like that. I see that guy and I worry about him.
Crispin Glover is the only individual that has ever been kicked off of the David Letterman show.
Right.
Well, right. That's very true.
I mean, nobody gets true. Kicked off of David Letterman. You got to be a serious pervert.
Right.
One thing we'd like you to do before we have to break, and you know, this never happens to us. We have another guest on the phone that we have to talk to in a second.
We
do. We
never have that problem.
Hey, would you send Joe in here for a second?
Sure.
Going on the fact that we're going to be seeing you again in a month to promote this event.
Absolutely, that's a promise.
And there's a lot of things we'd like you to say for us on tape like all DJs do.
Oh, this
do.
Is Joe.
This is
Joe.
Look at this guy. And now, you ad-libbed all your dialogue in Full Metal Jacket.
We were wondering if there was any chance.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. But
Joe is a serious suck-ass. I could tell that right away. Immediately, Joe, when we came in, Joe immediately followed us into the green room and went and got coffee and stuff for us.
Uh-huh. We're having trouble motivating him.
He's a classic underachiever. He's the world's oldest phone screener.
He is, in fact, our private pile, and we're wondering if you could say anything to Joe to motivate him. Just to get him to do a little better.
Joe is your private pile, huh?
Yes, he is.
Well, Joe, it looks to me like you're taking damn good care of these people around here, but the exercise program that you put together is obviously lacking.
Don't turn this around on us.
I see nothing around here but disgusting fat bodies, Joe. That tells me that you're not doing your job. Drop down and give me 25.
All right, get out of here, Joe. All right, Joe. Thanks, Joe.
Wow, thanks for coming to us.
Yep, for one more call?
Yep, for one more?
Absolutely.
One more phone call?
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's Tim. Hello, Tim. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Arlie, I am such a fan of you.
Semper Fi, Tim.
I love your show. I love Mail Call. It's a great show.
It's
really
the most
cool.
fun I've ever... I mean, it's legal, and I'm having so much fun. I can't believe it. They pay me huge amounts of money to do the show.
Good.
And I get to drive the tanks. I get to shoot all the weapons. I they let me fly the airplanes. They took me up in an F-15 for an hour and a half. In the last 15 minutes, the last half hour, I got to fly the airplane.
There you go.
The pilot said, "Take the controls, Gunny." And I said, "Oh, my God." And I was real ginger about it. And I was not doing, I was being real careful. And he says, "Go for it, Gunny. Damn it." He says, "The only way you can crash this or hurt this plane is to drive it into the deck. And we're 15,000 feet in the air, and that will not happen." I took it, and I started flying that airplane. I was doing barrel rolls, all kinds of
stuff.
There you
go. Wow.
What, in my next life, I'm going to be an airplane pilot.
A man's man you are.
Oh, man.
Wow. What terrible losers we are.
All right, Tim, get out of here.
And, sir, and I do say that with all reverence.
All due respect.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
There we go. I'm going to do the under the microphone.
Shake your hand. Guys, it's always a pleasure.
Listen, we'll see you in a month. Now, you talked about that. We want you to come in a month and spend more than one break.
And www.ermie.com.
Spend an hour with you if you'd like me. I'll spend the whole show with you. We're coming a day early.
Okay.
I like that.
It's not a problem.
Okay, you think we're kidding.
Arlie Ermy.
Well, thank you for a whole day.
Here is too.
Thank you so much.
Guys.
All right,
and thank you, everybody out there, and help us out now.
Yeah.
We will. All right, we'll plug this thing. We'll see you in a month.
Absolutely. That'll be fantastic. That's good news.
Bye-bye. Now, see, now you leave and we talk about you.
There you go.
While you're on the way out.
I'm going to listen on the car.
Okay, you listen. No, don't worry, sir.
And he'll come back if it's anything bad. He'll turn that car
around.
Thank
you very much. Okay. Very nice.
Man, he's the real deal.
Fantastic.
Hurrah.
Hurrah. There you go.
Disgusting fat body.
Private pilot.
I just enjoy Rob shaking his hand.
Private
pilot. Following up out in the hallway.
He added to my collection.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, Rob's the worst of that.
And now I am.
Rob,
now I am, too.
What, did you give him something to sign?
No, no, I'm just going
to
get a picture. I want to go out and get a picture. There are very few people I want to get pictures with. Don't let him go without getting me a picture!
He's already leaving,
I'm going to bring down the digital camera!
He's coming back.
Ah, thank you.
All right, go get your picture. We'll be right back with Huey Lewis.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bold copy is required. Please feel free to make this your own. You know, it seems like most technology has actually made our lives more complicated.
Well, all these great ideas and inventions come out, but you have to have a master's in electrical engineering to turn any of them on, let alone get them to do what they're supposed to do.
But OnStar is different.
Besides all the stuff you hear about unlocking your doors for you, tracking your car if it's stolen, even receiving a signal in case your airbags go off, there's this feature called OnStar Personal Calling.
Now, this is more like the technology I'm interested in.
First off, there's only one button to push. I like the simplicity of that.
It's a hands-free voice-activated cell phone that's built into your car and plays through the speakers.
1 year of the OnStar Safe and Sound plan, which includes a wide range of safety features, is included with the purchase of any OnStar-equipped vehicle.
OnStar is available on more than 50 GM models from Saturns to Cadillacs.
The Safe and Sound plan costs only $16.95 a month after the first year.
For more information about OnStar, check out their website at OnStar.com or swing by your local dealer.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
They are the Dean's Peanuts, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Is that Huey Lewis on line 7? He can do tomorrow, too? Oh, well, you know what? Let me just... Because I'd like to do... I just told Beth Ann, with Huey Lewis, I could do a half hour. I'm such a fan.
You are a huge fan.
I love Huey Lewis, and I bet he doesn't even remember. Buzz?
Yes?
Do you remember the first time that we partied with Huey Lewis?
No, I don't.
At Marriott's Great America.
Ah, it was a good party.
Hello. Hey, Huey?
Hey.
Hey, what's happening? Dude.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Huge, beyond huge fan. Seen you guys, you know, I guess maybe 10 or 15 times I've seen
you. Did you and I go to a concert together? One of the few times you and I attended a concert together was a Huey Lewis concert.
We did. Huey, I've seen you with, I've seen you by myself, seen you with my wife, seen you with my kid, who is now 19, seen you with Mike, my radio partner, and I go back to the very first time.
Well, you have excellent musical taste.
Of course.
You guys, your band is so freaking tight. And when Huey Lewis in the news play a concert, and is this true that you'll come on tomorrow for more than 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Wonderful.
They're trying to work it out. I got to travel, but we'll figure it out.
Because Huey is playing Wolf Trap tomorrow night. And here's the thing with Huey Lewis in the news. Mm-hmm. You know all the hits, but what's great is they sound like the hits. And when you go to see him in concert, you get long versions, but long versions where you don't feel like they're patronizing you. It still seems to me, and God, this is like Pollyanna of me, seems to me like you guys still really dig each other because it's the same band and you still dig playing those songs, right?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
And
I mean, that's key. And we don't work as much as we used to, so it's like falling in love all over again.
Because, you know, you go see Huey Lewis, and if you're a real Huey Lewis in the News fan, like I am, like once every fifth show, you get something like, you hit me like a hammer. Now, this is... Oh, I hit the alarm. But that is a great Huey Lewis in the News, like mid-chart record.
Yeah.
But for a real fan, and I set off the... The hammer alarm.
We have a hammer alarm in here. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
But when anyone says hammer, Huey, the MC Hammer plays.
Click, click, click.
And then we have to turn it off.
Anyway, but for instance, in that song, you have the horn section. And with Huey Lewis in the News, it's not some guy up there playing a keyboard. I mean, you got guys that are really playing horns.
Right.
And I mean, it's a kick-ass show.
How many dates are you doing a year now? How many times
probably
a year?
Probably 80.
80? So you've cut back. You used to do a lot more than that.
Yeah, we used to do a lot more. But it's true that we do, you know, we don't play with, you know, samples and clicks and all that stuff. We actually hire human beings to play the parts, which is, the reason we do that is not because we care so much for the human beings, but there's a living thing that occurs, you know, when you play without click tracks and so on, that every night you may be playing similar material, but every night it's different. It lives, you know, it breathes and so on. So,
you know, Huey Lewis and the News, the band, you guys, it seems you came out of nowhere. I know you worked for a long time, but you came out of nowhere. I was even a fan back when you were Clover. I saw you at, God, what was the place, the Bottom Line?
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I mean, no, not only did I dig you that night when I saw Clover, I bought your album there. I mean,
now you really are the one there.
Because there is a sense of R&B, there is a sense of rock and roll, there is a sense of Top 40, there is a sense of everything in your music. You guys were so friggin' huge, like when 4 came out.
Right.
And then you've gracefully made the transition. And your videos were great too. Mm-hmm.
Well, your videos really was that's when we were all discovering videos. And man, I mean, your videos, you guys, you all looked like you really got into doing those early videos. That just looked like it must have been a blast.
Well, we did. You know, I mean, we it was kind of obviously a new art form at the time. So we were such control freaks. We insisted on doing most of them ourselves, and the idea was that, you know, it's a retelling of the song, so you want to avoid, much in the same way as a great book is always better than the movie, so a great song is always better than the video. So we never tried to retell the story with the video. In other words, if it was a kind of a serious song, we'd do just a ridiculous video. We would zig when the video would zig when the song zagged.
Bury us up to our necks in the sand.
Yeah, I think it was Stuck on You is the one.
No,
where
what?
Is that where you had the heads going back?
No, that's If This Is It.
Oh, This Is It.
I love that. I still remember that one.
There was
Stuck With You was shot in the Bahamas.
What was the one?
That was Under the Water with Mario in his wetsuit and a cigarette.
Yeah, smoking underwater. Yeah. Some girl with big bosoms come by.
Right.
That's how that always was in a Huey Lewis video.
That was really a tough shot to do too. We had to do that over and over again.
Sure. Yeah.
Here's my question. Now that the hit records, and you know, all bands go through that phase, you guys went through it where you're on top for so long. You don't seem, and this is what I dig about seeing your show, you don't seem to be bitter about the fact that, you know, your records aren't on every radio station. Now you have a diehard group of fans who, unfortunately, a lot of times you think, well, Hall & Oates, well, they were okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Hall & Oates had, you know, like 50 top 40 records. Mm. Huey Lewis in the News, while they're not the same as Hall & Oates.
Right.
I mean, at least in my life, the band had a great influence. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were commercial, you were blues, you were rock and roll. And what I like is when it kind of dried up, and no offense by that, because I know you've had your comebacks, you weren't bitter about it. You go
to be honest, it's actually, we enjoy our profile now better than we did then. You know, my dad was a jazz player and always told me that, you know, if your stuff is number one, it can't be that good because the most popular stuff is never the best.
Right.
So I've always kind of somehow felt that. And the our last record, Plan B, and even a few records before that, really, were labors of love in that you knew you weren't going to get instant airplay. So it's liberating. We did things for the right reasons. You do things because you like to do it. And our last thing is anachronistic, you know, from its concept. We tried to record, write original songs and capture them in the studio, sort of as we played live, as opposed to putting together piece by piece. And it's got an ambient feel, and clearly is, you know, sort of counter to what's commercial at the time. But that the challenges are creative for us, and we're mad for that, and that's what why we do it anymore. You know, fortunately, we did sell a bunch of records, so we don't have to worry about the rent immediately, and so that's what and we enjoy that much more than we did signing autographs.
And are you getting out to hit the links as much as you used to?
A little bit. We're at this tour, not quite as much. We're actually concentrating on the music again, in that we've thrown some old stuff back in and rearranged it and stuff. So we actually were, but we do play. Yeah, well, I'd love to get out.
How long have you guys been together? The core group of your band. How long?
Our first record came out in February of '80, so we'll be our 25th anniversary will be next year.
Wow. Jesus Christ!
But we're really, you know, we're really sort of the union of two bands that were sort of rival bands in Marin County before that. So we've known each other for, you know, 35, 40 years.
And your whole band is great, and you're the front guy, and I don't know his name, but who is your drummer?
Bill Gibson.
Okay.
Yep.
Mike, you're a drum aficionado.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The guy, I'm telling you, there is just, if you go see Huey Lewis, you got that boom, boom, boom. It's always there.
I'm hoping I'm right about this. I think when you and I went to that concert, they covered Boys Are Back in Town.
Uh-huh.
And I think you might have started the concert with that. And it just was you talk about a band being tight, and that's really the best thing. And I think that's why the core following is so passionate about you guys, because it's just tight. When you say, hey, we're concentrating on the music, is that what you're talking about primarily?
I mean, you're
keeping it tight.
And by the way, Boys Back in Town was written by Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy, who was a pal of mine. When Clover was signed to England, we toured with Thin Lizzy, and I actually lived with Phil for a few weeks.
Did you record that? Did you ever record that?
We never did. No. We just do it occasionally for the heck of it.
Did you see him in concert? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that is, you know, we formed sort of pre-television, just barely pre-television, but pre-television, and we grew up as musicians in a very audio age, as it were. And in the 60s and so on, when, you know, growing up in San Francisco, there was a Fillmore Auditorium, all this stuff was happening, and we'd go. And as young, aspiring musicians, the bands that we would go and enjoy how they sounded. In other words, whether they could play or not, who was good? Oh, the bass player is good, or the guitar. And the idea that you could make a record and actually play live and have it sound as compelling as the record, if not better, was really the standard. And so saying that we sound like a record,
No, but you sound better, for instance, on I Want a New Drug.
Right.
And everybody who loves that song,
right,
you know, it's got that great sax in the middle of it. And at least the last time I saw you, I'm not kidding, it had to be like an 8-minute version, but it was not an 8-minute version when you're checking your watch.
Right.
It was like, oh my God, this is like so much better than the single
you
ever.
You still have the whole horn section with you?
We do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, that's it.
Wow. Yeah. That's
and
great.
Listen, even
and they've gotten, you know, they've grown together now. We actually added the horn section to replicate the record we did probably 10 years ago, Four Chords and Several Years Ago, which is the rhythm and blues tribute record, and we got the horns to replicate that, although Johnny played all the saxes on the record, and we hired a trumpet player. Then when we took it on the road, we hired the horn section, and we fell in love with the new 9-piece band, because down through the years, since then, we have slowly kind of reinvented ourselves a little bit and given the older songs a kind of a different setting now with the horns and so on. So,
oh, great.
And I think this year probably we will record it all live and DVD and so on.
I'd love that.
And capture the whole thing, you know, because a lot of our earlier songs, are given this new setting and I think they're much better for it.
Oh, fantastic.
And the other thing is that they're sort of more, oddly enough, you know, having written a lot of these songs in my 20s, in our 20s, they're actually sort of more relevant today, because we always were anachronistic. As like I said, we formed before television, so the idea for us was to, and our heroes, that was to create sort of timeless music and not set ourselves up to be trendy or any of that stuff. And of course, we forgot about the image as well, which we probably should have spent more time on. But nonetheless, musically, we've always, you know, written stuff that we hoped would endure, and lo and behold, it has. So that
has
this fun.
Tomorrow, if we could ask you, if you call back, ask you about American Psycho.
Okay.
There were stories about if you wanted the song in there or not.
Right.
I can tell you all that.
We have some calls for you real fast. We got a national show where it's kind of nationally syndicated. Here's a guy in California says he made you a knife one time. Doug?
Hey, guys, this is Doug from Bakersfield, and I made Huey a knife.
Huh.
You guys probably don't know he's an avid hunter up in Montana.
Hmm. And you made him a knife. Why am I scared right now?
Do you remember it?
I have sheath to my side right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Get out of here.
No, I don't.
You're crazy. Here's Dennis in Green Bay. Dennis.
Hey, Huey. I just wanted to, I graduated from high school in the mid-80s, and I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for getting me through the 80s, because all the rest of the music in the 80s just absolutely sucked. It sucked, and you got me through it. One other thing I wanted to tell you too is at the time your videos were out, especially the I Want a New Drug video, boy, did my mom have the steaming undies for you. Big time. Big time. And one last thing real quick.
Yeah, what?
When you had I Want a New Drug,
right.
I was in my high school pep band as a drummer, and I went to my band director and wanted him to get the sheet music for that song, and he took one look at the title, wouldn't even listen to the song, wouldn't even give it a chance. What a jerk. Anyway, thanks, Huey. Oh, thank God. You.
Huey, you get guys like that have been waiting a lifetime to get that off their chest?
I think so, yeah.
Well, listen, Huey, if we could make a date for tomorrow,
sure,
a play date to have you call in, and then I'll really fawn all over you and tell you, for instance, even though you were at the peak, at your absolute peak, of you had done the Spielberg movie,
right?
And you had Back in Time, and the record guy came in. It was the program director at the time came in. The Huey Lewis record. I swear to God, this is all I had to hear of The Power of Love. I said, okay, we'll add it. Like I said, you don't want to hear any more. And I said, no. And still to this day, if you ask me, what is the pure perfect pop record? It might be something by the Beach Boys, but it might be
The Power of Love.
And you still like this song, right?
I love it. I love it.
Hey, what a great attitude!
What's not to like?
Yeah.
That's what's not to like. There you go. Right, what's not to like? Bum ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da
ba da ba da ba da.
Cool.
Huey, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. We appreciate it.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Call tomorrow. I'll make some more love to you.
You got it.
Okay.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye-bye.
That is Huey Lewis. And hold on. Before we go to the news, Mike, we have Arlie Army back on the phone again.
Okay. Oh, no.
Hello. Hi, sir. Oh, hold on. Line. Oh, the hotline. Hello.
Arlie Army.
Uh-huh. Hey, this is Arlie Army. Boy, it's been like forever, doesn't it?
How you doing, Arlie?
What's happening?
Hey, I wanted to talk to Huey for just a moment.
Oh, man, the phone's dropping out. Cell phone's breaking up.
I think it was to invite him to the golf tournament, right? Because Huey is a golfer.
That's right.
Okay,
he'd like that.
Are you there, sir?
Yeah, Huey.
Sergeant,
is Huey there?
No, we just hung up on him.
But Gunny, he's going to come on the show with us tomorrow, and we will invite him off the air and on the air to your golf tournament.
Okay, if you would, I'd really appreciate it. If we could hear you there, hey, that would really make my day. I got to tell you guys.
I would be glad to ask him on behalf of everyone on this show.
To play golf. I know he plays the hell out of some golf.
Right, yeah, he loves golf, absolutely.
Would you just apologize for calling us disgusting fat bodies?
Yeah. Sorry I called you guys fat bodies. Next time I'll change my terminology.
Thank you, Arlie.
Fair enough. Hold on, we'll give you Huey's information. Yeah. Hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah, they're all calling in today, for goodness sake.
Wow, what a day.
So this is what it's like on a real show.
Wow.
But tomorrow, get ready as I climb inside the prostate of Huey Lewis.
That should be exciting.
Yeah, if you thought I was inside Stan Lee's prostate.
Right, stuck on you.
Just wait.
I'm looking forward to the American Psycho questions.
Yeah, because if you remember, the story was he didn't want the song used in the movie.
Sure.
Like, tried to fight it in court and junk.
Right.
Plus, tomorrow, I guess, a return from Huey Lewis, because I got so much stuff to ask him about.
Mm-hmm.
Also, tomorrow, Lay Moonves.
Yes, wow. President.
In a world where owning a racist would be forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Huey Lewis.
He made it up.
But tomorrow, Viacom CBS Infinity CEO Lay Moonves.
That's right.
Also tomorrow, a man named William Smith.
Bill
Smith.
Hello, dog.
Anyways, from North Carolina, he wants to talk to us about hookers and syphilis.
Okay. Hello, dog.
And also tomorrow, we'll play the Highway Love Connection. You got to go to the date tomorrow night.
I'm very, very sick.
It's Prince at the Hard Rock Cafe, and we'll do all of that.
Prince is at the Hard Rock Cafe?
Oh, no, you go to the Hard Rock Cafe, then you go to see Prince.
A lot of musicians floating around town.
Yeah, anyway, that's on tomorrow's episode.
There goes one.
Okay, and Craig Wilson today. You know, we've not done the Craig Wilson thing in 2 months. Today, if I could just say, It's the faggiest.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's the reason we started reading his columns in the first place.
All right.
We'll save it till tomorrow,
though. Good.
We'll find a spot for it on tomorrow's episode.
Good luck.
Buzz?
Yes.
News and comments time now.
Hi.
Hey, don't laugh, or it could be one of your segments we lose tomorrow.
Hey, for that good stuff, I'll step aside.
No, come on. He can wait. He and his partner, Jack, taking their shirts off in the Caribbean, can wait for another day.
Oh, thank you, God.
Buzz. Yeah. What is your lead story on the news in the comments?
Today, if there's... Excuse me, let me start that over again.
You wait all that time.
All that time. Perhaps I shouldn't have tried to shout.
Today, if there is another terrorist attack on the U.S., it may begin with an assassination.
Ooh, but you'll stop them because you're Phlegm Man.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
My man, Huey Lewis. We'll be back on tomorrow. We'll discuss American Psycho with him then. And all these other great songs. Time for Buzz Now and News. Oh, we never did the secret sound today.
Wow.
Tomorrow we'll try it with a new sound for $100.
All right.
Buzz News brought to you by Viromax. World's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer, Viromax, number one. It really works.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctors vetted, the clinically tested, patented Viromax, available at retailers nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-V-MAX. Tight as a nun.
I think I got an aneurysm on here.
Now the feeling is beginning. Never mind.
We did that a long time ago.
And also we need some of that, what's that?
The absinthe?
Yeah, funny drink.
Boy, draft day's just around the corner, and I've got a surprise plan.
Going to be making Bloody Marys again?
Nope.
What are you making this year?
It wouldn't be a surprise if I told you.
Okay.
Yes, sirree. It's a great surprise.
Good. A drinking show and a fantasy football draft show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, come
on. Is it pasta?
Huh?
Is it pasta?
Shut up. Stop it. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Well, you will know when it's time for the next big attack on America, according to Osama bin Laden. In a new video, he says that attack will begin with the assassination of a high-profile politician.
Poor old Alan.
We got our fingers crossed. It's the radio station general manager instead.
Please. Could be an American political leader or the leader of one of our ally nations. It could happen here or anywhere in the world, according to the tape. Allies most likely to be targeted include Yemen and Saudi Arabia, since they're doing the most to help us battle Al-Qaeda. And the attacks on the U.S. that will follow that assassination will include multiple targets, according to bin Laden. U.S. officials believe the attackers are already in the U.S., but they say they don't know who or where. They say they expect the attacks to come from planes, helicopters, and chemical trucks.
I saw a report today on CNN that kind of troubled me. It was breaking news, right? As I was leaving the house about 12:30. Some Pakistani guy, not related to the other Pakistan guy that they just nailed.
That the guy that was taking a picture of a videotape of a building?
Of a building in Charlotte. And the guy apparently is a travel nut. Now, I would give the guy the benefit of the doubt. They said that he had been to many American cities, taken photos and video, nothing looking like at vulnerable spots. As far as they could tell, the guy's just a picture nut.
And didn't they let him go, too?
No, they're holding him.
Are they still holding him?
Still holding him. And the thing on CNN is, well, why are we holding him? Well, because of the... is why we're holding him.
Hmm. But don't you think it's weird? I mean, being someone that, you know, you've traveled around, I've traveled around... You go to a building, just a regular building, and you're taking a videotape camera, and you're videotaping it, I think that's suspicious. What the hell are you doing? Okay, this is the 13th floor.
But how many?
The 14th floor.
Think of it before 9/11, though. It would not be unusual to see some foreign guy. And,
right.
And the thing is, we're putting the rap on the foreign guys, you know, just because he was a Pakistani guy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's possible the guy's just a nerd. Mm-hmm. They said the guy had done nothing, had no ties to Al-Qaeda, been a solid, upstanding guy. As a matter of fact, had like a video log of places he had traveled.
Right.
I mean, now who knows? This guy may turn out to be the next Bin Laden. I don't know.
Right.
He might be a shoe bomber, but... We were overreacting to this, and then we're holding him.
You know what kills me also when I hear the news story? We know they're in the country. We don't know who they are or where they are.
That turns me insane. Well, then how the hell do we know they're in the country if we don't know who they are and where they are?
Which is why,
I'm not them. You have to ask.
Which is why if you get a guy like this, they parade him out on TV like we've got somebody.
Yeah, look.
Yeah,
we
get excited.
Look what we caught.
We got some guy who was taking pictures of a bank building in Charlotte. Meanwhile, then they mentioned towards the end of the story, oh, incidentally, the bank moved Wachovia.
Uh-huh.
Moved out of the building in Charlotte 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So the guy's taking pictures of a building that has nothing to do with banking.
If I'm from that part of the world, I'm giving up my photography hobby.
Yeah, really.
And it has come to this. Your high school age son probably thinks he'll be wearing a uniform soon, fighting in some war. A new survey shows that 55% of American high school students believe we are this close to reinstating the military draft. The survey shows the soon-to-be grown-ups are increasingly pessimistic about the future of their country. And by the way, two-thirds of these too-young-to-vote citizens say they care about who wins this year's presidential election.
You know, we're the same age. You remember feeling like that? I know I felt like that.
Sure, yeah.
It's a weird feeling, and I feel for those kids because it's a strange feeling when you're, you know, you're wondering when you're 14 or 15 years old when your number's going to come up and you're going to go to war.
And I point out to my son, I mean, all kidding aside, I say, seriously, I don't know how deep this is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Uncle, you know, I told you about my Uncle Jerry, I'm saying this to Bart, when he got called to Vietnam.
Right.
And that I was flipped out when I was 18. I didn't go to college. I said, listen, you go to college, you get good grades.
Keep your grades up.
You know, I mean, seriously, I'm trying not to portray the world as an awful place, but it could happen.
Mm-hmm. And it says that the survey said the kids are still generally optimistic, actually quite optimistic, just not as much as they were a few years ago.
It's a scarier world. I think everybody knows that, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down at all.
What do we have to be optimistic about? I mean,
well, they're young.
We're constantly being, you know...
There's always hope with
just
that.
Just barraged with bad news. I mean,
well... But the world's always been that way, and will probably always be that way. Well, so you chin up and move forward.
You're absolutely right, and I'm thinking this out loud right now. You're goddamn right, Buzz.
And I think that's what more people ought to think like. What? The world has always been nuts. I mean, it's not like when you hear people say, oh, man, it's so scary today. The world goes through cycles. We have crazy times, and we have times when things are a little more stable.
We hear about it more, but really, there's always something.
And, you know, when you look around the world, there have always been hot spots around the world. There have always, you know, and the world's a smaller place now. So I think it's kind of an inevitable thing, and you just got to go on with your life and make the best of the situation.
Well, the kids are still kids. They say
that's why I'm going to drink my ass off tonight.
and so are the kids.
Yeah.
They say they do care about who gets elected, but two-thirds of them did. But two-thirds of them also said that they haven't really been following the presidential race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a group in Pittsburgh that has followed the race, and it thinks it's found a way to make the vote less close.
You know, I heard what they said.
What?
They said it's amazing.
It's an amazing race.
It's an amazing race.
Really, it is.
Charla! Group in Pittsburgh thinks it's found a way.
Did you watch her last night?
No, I didn't watch her last night. I watched a tiny, tiny little bit of it.
I turned it on just for a second, and the midget was running again.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. Every time the midget runs, me laugh.
Dwarf, Scott's going to kick your butt.
Yeah. Sorry.
Little people.
So there's a group in Pittsburgh that thinks it can make the election less close. This group called Blank the Vote. You'll have to fill in the blank. I can't say the word or even the letter.
Clever.
Blank the Vote is offering sex to any Bush supporter who will change their vote to Kerry. The voter has to sign a pledge to
that
effect.
I'll drink for that.
In order to receive the favor, the pledge card comes with a condom. Doubtful any of this is legal, and there's even reason to wonder if the offer is legit. Reporters have yet to find anyone who's accepted the offer. Blank the Vote plans to tour Ohio next.
I heard that Bill O'Reilly was flying out there, and he had accepted the offer.
They'll be in Ohio visiting college towns like Columbus. Ohio officials say they will be watching for violations.
Let me just say, you know how we slant on this show.
Yes.
Okay, no disrespect to the Orientals.
No,
not that slant comment. You know our slant on this show. Let me say, I don't think we have to give you sex so that you wouldn't vote for Bush and vote for Kerry. Listen to the man himself.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that it's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Are you retarded?
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
It's not a rhetorical question.
Brilliant.
Are you retarded?
That is the first time I think I've ever heard where there's a
laugh.
A big laugh.
Right. Laughing at the president.
They're goofing on him.
God.
Indians goofing on him.
You don't have to be crazy to run for president, but you might have to be an alcoholic or some other kind of drug addict.
I'll drink to that.
Hello.
This is the theory of a Los Angeles addiction.
I got hiccups.
An addiction expert who says he believes nearly all overachievers are drug addicts.
Hold on, my wife wants to say something.
Two teams. Can we lie? Can we fill in 15? No, all right. All right. I don't even remember what it was.
It rained so hard that one of our guys got in the bottom of a pile.
That's a problem.
The water was so deep he almost drowned.
I'll drink to that.
No, I got hiccups.
The addiction expert says anyone.
Hi, everybody.
Anyone driven to be a megalomaniacal leader is displaying symptoms of alcoholism. Doug Thorburn says Hitler had to have been an alkie and that the dictator of North Korea is, quote, an alcoholic with nukes. Doug includes Nixon, FDR, and JFK on his list. And he says drug or alcohol addiction is the only explanation for Bill Clinton's Monica days.
Doug How are you?
Has no
How
comment on either Bush or Kerry.
I'm a megalomaniac, and I sure am thirsty.
Buzz, what is next?
When we come back, is an oil company trying to drive up prices? But look at the evidence.
Well, you know, I think the oil companies are on our side, so I'd have to say probably not.
No, of course not. The oil companies are out for me and you.
That's right.
You might dog named Blue.
You might be surprised.
Mike, that's a dog named Boo. And we're talking about the grease man.
I'm sorry. It was Blue. It's always been my favorite dog.
Capo de Gee.
Know your Lobo.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from downtown Dumass.
Hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. What?
I got an emergency.
You got an emergency? You know? All right, see ya. Bye. Everything cool?
That'll be fine.
Okay, all right. Bye, Rob.
Bye, Rob.
Let's see. Oh, tomorrow, as I mentioned, Huey Lewis will be on the show again because I love him so much.
Yeah, right.
We'll ask him about American Psycho. And tomorrow, Highway Love Connection in conjunction with the Hard Rock Cafe. Here's the deal with the Highway Love Connection when we do this game.
Uh-huh.
It's always, we get two strangers to meet on the road and they go to a sporting event or a concert together.
Right.
And a lot of times, people screw us on this. They don't actually go out on a date.
Right.
So the deal tomorrow when we do the Highway Love Connection will be this. You got to be serious.
Yes.
Because the dinner is at the Hard Rock Cafe tomorrow night.
A great prize.
And you follow that up seeing Prince right across the street from the Hard Rock Cafe tomorrow night.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is a wonderful prize, and we want serious Love Connection people only.
Right.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Joe's in the studio.
Have you noticed how the support staff really springs into action? It's, mm-hmm. it's much like on the Johnny Show.
Absolutely.
You know, if Ed's not there,
right.
what's his name, would slide down the couch.
Yeah, you'd get Tommy Newsom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doc Severson would be first.
And then right. Tommy Newsom would take over the band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if Tommy came over and sat on the couch, which he did, you'd probably have Ed Shaughnessy behind the drums doing the talk.
Doc's here, Doc's not here.
And if you've been watching Letterman, Paul Schaefer's not on because
right.
his dad is sick. I told Buzz
right.
today,
mm-hmm.
when we had Anton Figg on the show, back when we did the Midday Show.
Right.
He was a great guest, and he had a website. And I went there on more than one occasion, bought a CD.
Right.
And I got, like, an Anton Figg newsletter today, emailed
sure.
to me.
Right.
I called Buzz and read it to him because there was a lot of interesting stuff about the Letterman Show that I know Buzz is crazy for. Like,
yeah.
Anton Figg writing that one day last week, they just caught, like, 5 minutes before the Letterman Show, they said, oh, incidentally, Paul Schaefer's dad is very ill.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. You're going to be Paul Schaefer until whenever.
And how's he doing?
Well, I've not seen any of the shows.
Have you seen any of the Anton shows?
Yes, I have. He's doing okay. He's very, you can tell he's very afraid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he's doing all right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow. All of that stuff, the Highway Love Connection, tomorrow.
I would have gone with Will, the bass player.
I don't know. Dave's always liked Anton. Anton's been with the band from the beginning, so okay. Maybe it makes sense. Anton's gotten more airtime over the years.
He gets so serious when you talk about Letterman.
I know. It's always
because it is serious.
Dave.
My friend Dave is always liked Anton better.
My buddy, yeah.
Anyway, here's to take this full circle.
Yes.
With the discussion about the Tonight Show, as soon as Rob left with whatever his personal emergency was at home, and I hope
everything's all right,
yes,
Rob.
We do.
Hope it's not that awful. Joe just slides right in here to just take his spot.
So welcome, Joe.
Get ready for all the same clever banter that Rob throws your way.
I'm sure you will.
Hey, Joe, how about those Jews, huh?
Oh, now stop it.
No, never mind.
My God.
How about the blacks?
Don't go there, girlfriend.
Never mind. I'm just kidding.
That's right. He might do it, but you know.
I know.
It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. He might say something.
I know.
Should I tell about the oil company tomorrow? Or
No, we got time.
Yeah, all right.
Do you promote the story? Go ahead.
Consumer groups say they have evidence that the Shell Oil Company will close and demolish a profitable refinery just to drive up gas prices. The refinery in Bakersfield, California.
Hey, Bakersfield.
Have the biggest...
Oh, yeah.
Have
KGEO.
Yep. And this refinery had the biggest profit margins of any Shell refinery in America, far and away, which raises questions about Shell's claim that it's not economically viable to keep the refinery open. Shell's also refusing to sell the refinery to another company. Shell wants the refinery destroyed. One consumer group says we should all be outraged that this kind of thing should be stopped and that Shell should be forced to either sell the refinery or keep it open.
You know, just very quickly, you ever notice how, you know, when they show pictures of cows going down the chute to be slaughtered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever notice that when it, you know, what's the one real equivalent that we have as human beings to that? It's going to the pump. We just go to the pump. We feed our cars whatever they're charging. Nobody cares. It's like, there we go.
Quoting one consumer advocate, only a company that wants to short the market and artificially drive up the price of gas would demolish a highly profitable refinery.
So the refinery makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Like 36 cents a gallon more than any of Shell's other refineries.
So they say because of that, let's destroy it.
Yes. So it can artificially raise
the prices.
Gentlemen, this has to stop.
Thank you, Shell.
Finally, good for Patrick Duell of Nebraska. He's finally dropped some weight. He's lost 321 pounds so far.
Wow.
He hopes to lose another 450.
Excuse me. Is my watch wrong?
No.
Because I think... Are you coming up on Mark 51?
I was, yeah.
You got like 20.
You have all the time in the world.
Yeah, you don't have to go to your kicker. Do another story.
All right. Well,
for God's sake.
Let's do sports then.
Okay.
Sports. The Dallas Cowboys are summer camping in Oxnard, California, where it's illegal for some people to wear a Dallas Cowboys t-shirt. The town has a court order, an injunction, that prohibits alleged gang members from wearing the Dallas Cowboys logo.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Boastful.
Why's that, Bill?
Try to get the upper hand. Mike wants the defense to do well.
They talk so well.
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Oh, my God. All right.
Quoting one official...
I have nothing to say.
Not saying anything.
God.
Quoting one official, we're talking about a criminal organization that uses that jersey, not because they have any interest in football, but because it represents a gang.
Okay.
In Greece, as they prepare for the Olympics, they're also preparing to ban T-shirts with a Nazi word for a surprise battle tactic. Quoting one official, I saw an athlete in the village wearing a shirt that said, Blitzkrieg. It's only a game.
Oh, God.
And it was the...
Did you mention Greece?
I did.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike.
Stellar job
today, I might add.
Different Greece.
Right.
And it was the Christians and the Lions in the Colosseum, only without the Lions, but the Christians still lost. These were not your typical Christians. They are radicals from a group called Repent America. They went to the ballpark in Philadelphia yesterday because they heard it was the Phillies' second annual Gay Day. Gay men and women and their friends and families are especially welcome at the stadium on Gay Day, along with anyone who understands the concept of tolerance.
Yeah, play ball. Because we know from our time, some of that buzz.
It's contagious.
We know from our time in Philadelphia what a loving and warm environment that city is.
They reach out to everybody.
Really,
they embrace everybody.
The city of brotherly love.
Right.
Yes, a queer. So at the ballpark yesterday in Philadelphia, these crazy Christians put up a banner that read, "Homosexuality is a sin. Christ can set you free. Phillies promote homosexuality. Stop Gay Day." Kind of a big banner, really.
Right.
Gays trying to watch a baseball game were incensed and tore down the banner as other gay couples...
Funny. Gays watching a baseball
game.
Gays watching a...
Gays went wild. They did.
Gays go fishing. Gays go to a ball game.
Right. Gay couples kissed in front of the so-called Christians just to give them the willies.
Good heaven, no.
Security officials then removed the so-called Christians from the ballpark and Gay Day continued.
So the gays won.
They did.
Go gays!
And finally, good for Patrick Duell of Nebraska. He's dropped some weight. He's lost 321 so far. He hopes to lose another 450 pounds.
Really?
Pat weighed nearly 1,100 pounds when he was admitted to the hospital 8 weeks ago.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a donut?
Dozens. He had to be weighed on a cattle scale. Pat's been on a diet ever since, a diet supervised by 8 doctors.
The first message is... Hey,
Rob. Don't get mad.
But our next patient may be the burglar in Seattle who's eaten his way through 11 homes in less than 2 weeks. At his last stop, this burglar ate one house. He ate a box of creamsicles.
Right.
6 shrimp kebabs.
Yes.
Half a pack of lunch meat.
Right.
2 juices, a glass of milk, 12 chunks of cookie dough, and several handfuls of M&Ms in 15 minutes.
You think that was Rob's emergency tonight?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I just got to go. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Go!
Go! Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see.
Wow.
We have a lot of people to thank today, Don.
Yes, we do.
Jill Ann Spalding wrote the Playboy book about cat. Her website is
JillAnnUpstairs.com.
Thank you, Buzz. Also, thanks to Arlie Ermy. I know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
I know.
Private Pile.
I know you don't know.
Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
History Channel is
right.
Where he's promoting his show, Mail Call.
Yeah, and he's got the big benefit coming up September 10th through the 12th.
Yeah, ErmyExperience.com. Thank you, Buzz. Also, thanks to Huey Lewis, who doesn't have a website that we have to plug, but
no.
He's coming back on the show tomorrow because I'm going to give him a prostate exam. That's how much I like him. And anyway, that's it. Good day to you, sir.
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 That's it. And this is where I always turn, Joe, and Rob says something that makes me laugh.
Happy birthday to Jesus!
Hey, it worked.
He didn't drop the ball.
All right. Eat a loop.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Everyone's talking about the deal at Battlefield Ford. Right now, take $9,000 off every F-Series pickup. Not just one or two, every single one. Get the deal only from Battlefield Ford on Mathis Avenue in Manassas.